Okay, let's get started. All right, we have a quorum. Welcome everybody to our meeting. We have quite a few on the phone, and we're grateful for you to participate. And hope you can stay with us, but obviously you have to go. We'll excuse you. Larry should be here anytime, and we expect Mariah somewhere around 11:30 to join us. But we'll go ahead and get started with what we can and some of your discussion that we can move forward on. If it's all right, then we'll begin with a prayer and I'll offer it. Our kind Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the blessings that we've received to live in this country and to enjoy the blessings of property ownership and the opportunity to interact with one another as owners of Deer Springs Ranch. And we are grateful for the freedom we enjoy and for the blessings that we have to share with one another. We ask that thou will bless us with thy spirit as we discuss matters related to the church, that we might know those things and those decisions which will best benefit all members. And we pray that thou will bless the food that we will partake of later, that it will bless us and nourish us. Bless all those that traveled and here to the meeting and will be traveling home, that they will do so in safety. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Call the meeting to order. First order of business is let's go around and determine who's here. And even if we know you and you've been around forever, we'll ask you to state your name clearly so that we can get you on the record. Let's start. Kathy, do you want to start us off?
Yeah. Kathy? Is that what you want?
Yeah.
I am here. Go ahead, Brad. No, Brad.
Brad. Okay. All right.
Joe Bourget.
I'm Barry Clarkson.
I'm Larry Clarkson.
All right, you guys out there in the foyer, we need you to introduce yourself to the record. Give us your name. Stand and give us your name and lot number if you've got one.
The John Harris lot 163.
Come on, John. We got people here in the foyer. Introduce themselves real quick. Go ahead.
Hey, Wolsey, 220.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Perfect. Anyone else out there? Candy, I didn't see you introduced.
I was talking to Candy. Hey, Candy, 107.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. We'll go around. Please introduce yourselves on the phone one more time. I think I have your names, but for the record, just speak up and tell us your name and lot number.
Dan Green, 156.
John Harris, 163.
Palmer, 117.
Jeff and Tina Collins, 121.
Michael Jordison, 67.
I think that's probably it, unless somebody else joined us on the phone.
Okay, we got 180, the Millet family.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you. Next order of business is we need to look over the meeting minutes from the last meeting. We received them as board members through the email, but you all have a printed off copy. I'll have you look them over and then I'll entertain a motion to either modify them or accept them as drafted.
Phil suggested that the project later on says go on. But anyway, we just be a little careful because it starts out. Phil suggested that blah, 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 blah. We don't know if it's the board member or this Phil or that Phil. Yeah, so it was not me. No.
It was not.
No, that came from Phil Hunt. So we'll adjust.
So we just need to be a little careful in the full name on the Phil stuff.
Okay.
We're
just putting it on.
Any other suggested changes, comments, concerns on the meeting minutes from last meeting?
And if you look at 4.5.2.1, I was having a hard time remembering staff talking about a large paragraph. It says, so Hall recommended we also keep a track of reserve transfer for each year. Anybody remember anything more about that?
What we were discussing is Mariah had created a bar, a pie chart, and some graphics to show certain reports at the end of the year so that we could track them. And you simply suggested that that would be an additional thing we'd like to track in the future.
Yeah,
we could, just so we could tell the members each year, compare year over year, how much did we carry forward from savings, or did we go in the negative? And I think that we thought that was a good idea. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, concerns on the meeting minutes? All right, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion that we accept the minutes for the previous meeting as written.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, meeting minutes are adopted. Do you want to hold off on the financial report until Mariah's here?
Probably best, yeah. She's got the stuff.
Should be right under your, right in that color, that bar chart you have right there, the next page. You all should have the bar chart on top, the blue line, and then the meeting agenda under that, and then the past meeting minutes that we just approved under that are now irrelevant. So we're going to skip and hold off on number 3 and number 4 and proceed and turn the time over to Phil and Rachel if you're ready to give your caretaker update and report.
Yeah, there's not a lot there, but we're just getting, you know, continuing to chop wood and harvest them. We're getting low. We've been using equipment quite a lot, getting familiar with it, both of us, now that I'm able to be able to drive. I cannot still rent a Kubota because the seat is too upright, and I have to extend my legs a little bit with the back, the left side back, and, you know, for the timber. I haven't found a grader yet. In fact, then Rachel's been doing all of that. You know, we've cleared out snow and podunk 3 or 4 times. And
a lot of those came from a lot on our community and stuff. There was the sheriff, we were heading to town with her, and the sheriff stopped us and said, you help us, they need equipment, we don't know how stuck these people are, and Block 7, I think. And so we turned around, dropped our stuff, and so one of those times was solely because...
We would have not done it that day, but anyway, we unburied them, and it took quite a while. So you've been all the equipment? You're talking about the grader and the tackle? Because I drive the grader, he drives the tackle. And how did we ever talk a lot about this? We were driving it out, I was about to Brad's Road.
And my left wheel started locking up, so I started like kind of going sideways, and we couldn't ever figure out how to fix that. So I can push those. So Larry came and helped us put chains on the grader. So hallelujah. So he was helping us grade a little bit, and I can push snow back with the Dakota, no problem. But to go run on the road, no way.
Only one wheel locks up?
Yeah, the left rear.
Left rear.
Yeah. So it goes about. So this one, the wheel's turning like this on this side, and on this side it's turning about like this. So
that is the brake. He emailed it back in that brake locked up inside there, and he had heated up and then beat it with a hammer. But we all looked at it and couldn't
figure
where that would be.
I spent quite a bit of time messing around with it, and it...
Is that a caliper, or is that a the old style brake shoes?
It's inside the transmission. It's not a brake drum or anything. So no,
that's ready.
Yeah.
So I
pulled around with and pulled around with and got to where it wasn't hanging up anymore. But
I'm not intimidated by the grader anymore.
It's kind of strange.
So, yeah, I don't get stuck.
And your father is not the old style brake shoes that went out. Not calipers, but brake shoes.
It could be, but it's inside the
transfer case.
Transfer case or inside the transmission transaxle. It's not like brake shoes or brake drums out on the end of a axle.
They're independent.
Let's just, as soon as the weather permits and roadways permit, let's get it into the to a mechanic and get it fixed.
Yeah, if somebody needs to call in to the county and have them fix the road at the Lafever Ranch, they've got a gravel pit right there, and it is a nightmare to get through. It's got a huge mud hole.
It's like 3 feet rough.
And they even brought in some filter, but now it's worse because now you're sinking down in it. And I had chains on, and I had a tough time getting through that this morning.
The perfect people to call the county on that is sitting right down there.
I'm telling you, I've called them, and they're like, we have other things that we have to do.
I know, I understand that.
Keep calling them.
Call them again.
So you're talking about right there, the gravel pit.
Yeah.
A big hole.
From the bridge all the way over to the tree. It's a nightmare getting through.
I would continue to call, and if you're not making much headway, I check with Dirk and see what he can say. He's not a county commissioner anymore, but he can tell you if there's some other person to contact. Okay.
So really, been working a lot. You know, my mobility in my leg is a lot better. In fact, I've been getting 10,000 steps a day on it, which is pretty good. Where before it was getting zero, and so. I've been working and focusing. We have in the goat enclosure just to make some things in there. Just look in there and keep goats. But we've got 7 little babies.
We accidentally just separate our goats at the right time. So we have 7 babies right now. And 2 that were bottle feeding. Those 2 are out in the truck, so they have to go with them. But we have bunnies, new bunnies too. And I think Crosby is going to help us with those.
Yeah, we got 2 lines on the bunnies. We got a guy down in Orderville going to be buying from meat for $10 a piece. We don't have to butcher.
Yeah.
So that's going to start.
What kind of rabbits are
they? We don't know.
Oh.
We bought them.
What kind did you want?
They're gray.
So we're going to try to keep a tally a month on what the feed actions are. Now the chickens are going to pay for themselves this year. We're flagging right now a dozen eggs a day. And so I've got my fridge. Oh, that fridge is amazing. Thank you very much for your fridge.
Yeah.
It's like, and so we're going to contact some people down in town right now before our season kicks up and sell them for $4 a dozen or
$6
or $18, same as the ranch. But we would propose that at the ranch we up the price, because in town you can get the free-range chicken for $4 a dozen. Everybody sells it for $4 a dozen. I think we should sell ours for $5 a dozen. We just let the members be aware that you're helping help buy the feed too.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Give us an update on, you and I talked a little, but give us an update on your surgery scheduling and what the doctor said as far as maybe you can wait till the end of the season.
It was really weird because it was just like, okay, and you know, MRI, you need to go get it, and da 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 da. And then we scheduled the surgery on Valentine's Day. Yeah, go ahead. And we didn't get the call until 5. And we have, the surgery was at 5:30 a.m. on Valentine's Day. That means we had to get funded now. Rooms weren't available this time. They could have made arrangements, but we chose to hotel. We could just get up and go to the thing. And they called us at 5 o'clock and canceled the surgery. Workman's comp hit. So we were like, crap. So we turned around the next day and went back home. You know, that's 95.
They're saying there's a pre-existing condition and there's not. So we have some avenues to get some help on that, to try and fight it. And
so that's kind of what they're doing. They're just pulling the brakes on all of a sudden, saying there is a pre-existing condition, but there isn't. I have never hurt either of my knees pulled well. I've heard of them, but I've never pulled any muscles or sprained them. I've made a foot and my right arm is alive. So I've never had any broken bones in my life. Well, not like an accident from an individual, but they're saying that there's a pre-existing thing, and so we're going to get an attorney and a fighter.
What are they basing that on? How?
We don't know. I'm glad I asked them. What are you basing this on? We would like to know.
She says, I'm waiting here for my physician.
And I've communicated, just so you guys know, a little bit with the workers' comp person saying what's going on. And they said they're waiting for medical records, so it's just waiting. And so,
have we supplied the medical records, or have you guys?
They won't let us get it. But she said, FYI, you can call them and ask them to send them to me, but you cannot transport them. So we can't go and get them to try and push it along.
Getting medical records, because I do a lot of guardianships and conservatorships. It's not top priority for the doctor's office, and so a lot of times it takes a month or two for them to produce a copy. So,
but they don't do anything
because now it's beyond. Now we're waiting for records from like some other doctor that has nothing to do with the situation. So
we're waiting for the records from So, we're working on the goat enclosures, and the other thing that's kind of exciting is we had 2 days of dry that we could drive the backhoe around, and we're collecting all the garbage around everywhere and hauling it like metal back to the well field in the metal pit. We've got an actual area that we're collecting the scrap and just cleaning around the area so it doesn't look cluttered. I think that needed to be done for a long time.
Yep. Good. Anything else?
Not much else we can do. Yeah.
Okay. I think right now would be a good time for a little bit of a discussion. If you have something different.
I got one question in reference to the injury. On 5.4, we approved to get the hose changed so the backhoe will have a longer hose. Has that been done?
No, I researched that a little bit. We can pick some supplies up at Tractor Supply, but again, it's almost $400 for the unit. And I didn't know whether that we should do that.
Here in town, where you get hosed.
Hose warehouse.
Yeah. Larry
was talking to Larry. He would suggest 12-volt battery type of thing, and it pumps itself. You don't have to keep getting down. Climb back up a little bit, and then keep getting down and back up.
Really,
just stand up there and go.
By the next meeting, let's have that problem solved.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Anything else for these guys? I have one other issue.
Okay.
I noticed emails, just so everybody knows, that John and I get, and Mariah get weekly updates as to what they've been doing on a daily basis, as workers' comp ask us to have that. And we spend a lot of time digging people out of the snow. And that is something we don't want to do. Creates liability. I'll tell you a story. just finished about a $10 million lawsuit in Mesquite for somebody that went out to help somebody pull their excavator out of a mud hole, and the bulldozer that they were using rolled the wrong way one direction. And so I don't know how we get out of this. I don't want to be the bad guy in this. I know we want to be good neighbors. This is getting to be the point of ridiculous. I think we've...
Well, I think it's fun. I mean, we spent a whole the day Larry was up there, and I just saw him to the front, and I think that he's gotten convinced that he just needs to leave for the winter. And what he did is said, well, the last couple of winters haven't been bad, so decided to stay. So, anyway, I think that he can see the problem now. I think that he's had enough trouble, and he's paid out enough money this year, not only to us, but to Ramsey's and to other people. And so I think, but maybe just write him an email. Maybe just something so that we don't have to just sit there when crap hits the fan and we have to say, sorry, we can't come help you. And that would feel bad, too.
Well, I think we've had quite a few people, even non-members up there, get up there and get stuck, and the sheriff's office has to go out and get them. And again, we want to be good neighbors, but you incur liability for yourselves and for the ranch every time you do that. And the point is some people have no business being out there when the weather is what it is.
Yes, I'll give you a ride to the phone booth at the CLM thing and you can use all of her.
But for me, that was crappy, because then we'd have to get to him first. Like,
I'm not telling you what you can or can't do. You have to be use your brain. I all I'm telling you as a practice, we do not want to establish the expectation that we're there to haul you out or to take you out, even if you're paying. That's not what we do, because it can turn into a big problem and a liability that we don't want to deal with.
This year has become a big problem, and it's not just Lee. I mean, there's been a dozen people.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of people.
They've had to make a judgment call. I've been called several times. I've been out there several times, but it's to the point of ranch members and outsiders that are traveling that road wanting to go in and out need to be responsible for their own.
Yeah, we shouldn't be doing it. I mean, our people are going to get hurt, but they can't work.
And emergency situations say, we'd be happy to take you to the ranch house so you can stay warm. Stop by the phone booth and call somebody or whatever. But
the other thing is, if it's top week, if you hook a chain on, let's say it's a car, and you hook a chain on and pull them up, it's so easy to rip off these plastic bumpers that they have. And then who's responsible for that? Well, you're the one that ripped it off. We shouldn't be doing it. We really shouldn't.
Anyway, I don't want to belabor the point, but I wanted you guys to understand that.
We provide humanitarian service by way of shelter and or communication, so that we do not provide physical.
But just to be straight, occasional snow plowing, like at the least, like once or twice. Like
that's different.
Okay.
Yeah. If he hires you and you have time to snow, that's what I'm talking about. Is somebody saying my truck is up to the bumper, and you say that's great. We'll take you to the ranch house and provide you with comfort and warmth so you don't die. But we're not pulling the truck out. We're not authorized to do that unless the board approves it. You can call me and I'll tell you now.
I pulled the truck out. I got there and seen, even before I got to the truck, I looked at the road and was like,
Let's have Phil finish your motion. I think was to provide comfort and an emergency service to the point that they don't die in communication, but no physical
communication, but no physical
extraction
of personal property.
Anybody
second that?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right. Passes.
So just for the future, though, Kathy, you cannot get towed out.
Yeah. You're out of
luck. Unless you're by helicopter.
No, I'm not planning on going out.
You can't go on that road. You have to be crazy.
Police truck is
on the line.
Okay, moving on, right on. Anything else? Any other questions or concerns for the caretakers?
I'll turn in the vacation calendar that you requested.
Okay.
So, you guys, we don't discuss it now.
We'll discuss it in the executive session because there are several things that we'll want to talk about a little bit, but I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Perfect. All right, moving right along. Discussion of development of new lots, Barry Clarkson. Okay. I'm going to keep this very short, and let me refocus everybody's minds on what I'm trying to accomplish here so that the discussion doesn't go into, you know, far and wide beyond what we're talking about. The reason this came up was the discussion of whether we amend or whether we modify the CC&Rs to allow the board to approve the subdivision of additional lots. Okay? That's where it came from. So in your discussion, in our discussion, I'll review what the possibilities are, but keep in mind that the whole point of this is whether we allow for, in the CC&Rs, not that we're doing it, but to allow for the possibility of the board to develop additional lots with the money coming to the association for the purpose of providing financial resources for cabin upgrades or construction facilities as far as civilian communications, those items that we've talked about. One that I would add is the possibility of bringing electric power to the ranch. Okay? So, with that in mind, and understanding that whatever happens with, whether this is included in the CC&Rs or whether it ever does or doesn't happen, just to be clear, the property belongs to the association, the money all stays with the association other than the cost of doing the development, which would be surveys and presenting to the county commission and so on and so forth. Okay? Now, last time we had this discussion, then I asked whether there was any interest, and I offered to gather more information. The information I gathered, I met with my dad on two separate occasions and asked what he was talking about and what he envisioned. The maps on the table are two different maps that help us to understand what we're talking about. I'm going to stand up and just point out a little bit. The first map on that end of the table, the big laminated map, is a map created by Vance Green. Great map of the ranch areas. And you'll notice that there's a yellow sticky tab stuck to the map on the east side of the well field. See that yellow sticky tab? Brad, can you point to that? All right. So the original idea, you'll notice, there you go. You'll notice that there are four or five lots to the just upstream from that yellow tab. See those right there? Yes. The idea was to continue those lots on down that area that's been designated. There. Okay? Here's a map of a potential possible scenario that was created by TC Engineering, ordered by my dad, showing a possible configuration of lots in there. Now, you'll notice that this is not an area that is typically used for any ranch activities other than, I don't know how much your cattle graze along that hillside as far as hunts.
This is the best grazing area that the ranch has, or farm area that the ranch has down on this side.
You'll notice that the design of the lot only takes half of that and leaves all of the grazing area as grazing area. Just so you know, these are designed as smaller lots from 6 to 7 acres. They're smaller than the 20-acre lots. This is just a concept. The reason why I'm even bringing this up is this an area that could be used or would be missed as far as ranch activities that could raise somewhere and looking through and evaluating because it's close to the existing southern water system, these lots could easily generate $500,000 to $700,000 for the ranch to use. If the answer is we like it how it is, which I completely understand, I've heard from Vance, I've heard from Brent, I've heard from other people. If some people feel like that this is just a no go, then I understand it's a no go and we don't discuss it further.
If it's something that we want to possibly discuss in the future, now is the time to include a provision for it, allowing that in the CCNRs. Not that we're going to develop right now, but it allows that possibility. So that's my presentation of what's been proposed. Like I said, those would be great lots. I'm not going to develop them, but the ranch may in the future have that for a source of capital to bring power to the ranch, communication, or other things that we cannot currently afford. Yes?
When you say we develop, and let me just back up. When you ask me what I entertain talking about it or approving it, or should I need to think about it, and my basic philosophy is I'm kind of weary,
mm-hmm.
because we all have value in our common area, and just like in St. George, it was an impact fee.
Yep.
And but I don't know that impact fees really cover, like, it's not like St. George Long that we all share an ownership or something. That's just impact to maintain the roads or facilities or whatever. But if we approach any of this, I it would have to be very limited for me, and it would have the impact fee or of the ownership, it would have to be totally evaluated and carefully considered, and I'm just giving you my feeling philosophy. I basically looking at that, lots on the hillside, looking over the pasture, that kind of seems cool. I mean, not ground we haven't used, so from a practical standpoint, I'm just thinking that seems reasonable. Just a very cautious.
I understand and agree with your caution. The impact fee, because the property is owned by the association and would be developed by the association, possibly in conjunction with someone, you know, like me or my dad or somebody else. I'm not suggesting that because I won't do it. But bottom line is, you're going to have somebody help through the process. But the overall, all the decisions, the property is owned by the association, the money's going to come to the association. It has to be an association project. Unless we consider selling this property, which has never been suggested by anybody, and I don't think.
Well, if, in fact, we divide up the number of lot owners and the potential thing and value, the common areas, what is the value to each one of us as we bought it, let's say we benefited $5,000 or whatever it divides up to be, or $10,000, that goes directly to the lot owners. You know.
Well, it's open for discussion. Again, all the money's going to go to the ranch. So whether it's an impact, because the ranch owns the property.
Yeah, we own the property, so we're selling up our equity. And the equity part of it should come there directly back to the law owners if we do that.
The only reason I disagree with that is that come back to the lot owners as far as cash. By the time you take these, I think there's 11 or 12 lots here. And you were able to sell those, let's say, for $500,000. That means $1,000, a little over $1,000 for a monthly lot owner. Did I do that right? We have 300 members. So yeah. Well,
No. You take the value of all the. We have 2,000 acres of common value.
Right.
What is the price value of that? That's what we all own a part of.
Right.
Now,
well, you're diluting. You're diluting yourself.
Yes.
You're going to subtract off.
So we add. What is our share now? And then, if we divide it, what value do we lose? That's the equity on top.
But the point is by the time you get there, it's going to be like $50.
Practically, like,
I mean, the small amount of property that we're taking, again, I'm not promoting this idea, I'm simply explaining it. The 100
acres. Let's see, 11 lots or 6 acres.
There's 16 from here to here.
Okay.
This is 17 and 18. I don't understand.
Yeah, no, these are, this is grazing area. This can't be taken.
It's also our well field. Yeah, it says lot 310. 99 acres. What is lot 310?
That's just the surveyor divided these out and measured how much they were.
So that's not
this area is used for grazing, and there are wells in it and everything else. We're talking about these along the hillside.
The prime lots down on that end where the people would have the very best view would also bring those cats. Because if I heard that about that lot on the end, then I don't want to put my cabin out where I could see everything that's there, which is when I'm at the ranch now, I look over and I see wilderness, and then I look over and see somebody's green cabin roof over on there. So I don't see, even though that because of the prime lots with the best view, it may be the most valuable, but at the same time, they take the most of the aesthetic beauty of the ranch away from if we develop those lots for sure down the end. These lots that are up closer to the road where the road comes over, I'm looking for it coming across there. Can somebody show me right there?
Right there on the top end.
Down here?
Yes.
Probably these would be a lot less within.
Well, we don't need to talk about the nitty gritty. We need to talk about the philosophy.
This is a concept, or it doesn't mean a whole lot. I guess I would like to take a straw poll among board members to say this is worth discussing, or just no, I'm not interested, and we move on.
Will this change the tax code for the whole area?
No.
One other thing that can be done, because of Brad's concern, which I also share, you know, we're used to seeing the view and the beauty from the ranch house and these cabins, and so the possibility is, with the lots, there can be a designated building area assigned to each of these lots that says, you buy this lot, you can build your cabin here, here, here. So we can kind of control what it looks like from over here, from everywhere else, so that it's not a big eyesore to everybody else.
And the numbers here, too. It's the whole philosophy of expansion or not. I think that's what it boils down to is, do we want to leave the door open for possible future expansion, or do we want to close the door and forget about it?
Well, I think the door would, even if we say no at this time, the door is always open to come back and have a first again. I never thought of using this member to agree with going on any of our common areas.
Personally,
I haven't talked to tons of members, but
let me ask you this, Brad.
That's who we represent.
Do the members understand that this could fund communication at the ranch? I bet if you said to the members, if we sell off 10 lots, we can put a cell tower on the, or two on the ranch, and I'm not saying that's possible, by the way, because cell towers, there's the cost, and then there's the service that we may. But if we were able to say, if we sell off 10, 6, or 7-acre lots, we can put two cell towers on the ranch, and everybody has cell coverage, I guarantee 90% of the ranch people would be on board. So it's not a matter, it's not a just a blanket matter of, hey, do you want to sell this off? Okay, I don't see anything. If we're not going to get anything out of it, I agree. There's no reason to even discuss it. But if you can say, if we develop and sell 10 lots, I don't mean that there's permanent power to the ranch house and to the upper cabins, and we can do away with the gas refrigerators and the extra costs there, and we have regular communication. I think every member, well, not everyone, you can't ever get, but I would guess that 90%+ of the ranches would be in favor of that. Arcane power up there? It's certainly feasible. It's just a matter of the cost. My understanding, and I haven't talked to them specifically, my understanding is the cost would be between $50,000 and $100,000 to have permanent power to the ranch house area, and then it could expand from there. And to me, that's as important, if not more important, than communication, because of the safety issue with gas and having, you know, flip the switch on and you're paying
we could save money on diesel. We could save money on generators and all this other stuff if we had permanent power. And that housing, what's that?
It'd have to come clear from up. Well, we saw where the cable ran, so we see, and you also see where the power runs out in Johnson's Canyon.
Off by the roll of beams, quite
something. Yeah. So, I mean, it was millions to come up there with the all the way, but they went past us, obviously, to Canada, which is another, what, 20 miles?
Yeah, they got
so the point is I think that if we just say, hey, are you interested in selling off lots, the answer is no. If the question is, are you interested in selling off lots to accomplish these things, it may be different. I'm not trying to influence you one way or the other.
So that decision could be handled better.
I have a remark when you get a chance.
One more step, then we're talking about, is now the time to do it with the CCNR thing? And the politics of that is, respectfully, your father, more likely to prove CCNRs if we had such provisional.
Well, let me tell you, I did have a discussion on that, and I was going to have that a little bit separate, but...
I think John,
did you have something to say? I'll let you in.
Yeah, I do have a remark on it. I'm looking at it, and some others that I know are looking at it, as we sold the lots, and we got more people coming out there, and we have more wear and tear on things, and we have a lot of that now, and we get things more convenient. We got more people to spend more time and be buying out there, but I'm concerned about the traffic and the wear and tear on the roads as well. And people tend to want to use the roads when they shouldn't be using it. And, of course, that's along Meadow Canyon there. And that is well used anyway. From a maintenance standpoint on it, for just the roads alone, let alone the other things, you say, well, there's going to be more money coming in for their dues, you know, on their property. But if we got 12 lots there, I only get $50 a lot per year, and that's only $600, and I guarantee you 12 lots out there with the extra traffic that would come in there, $600 certainly would not cover the damage. So I'm looking at that, and I'm not sure that I want that many people running up and down the roads and making noise. When I say that, that's maybe a little selfish on my part, but it is selfish on some of the others. But that's one of the things I would have against it, and I'll turn it back over to you.
Just a quick address. These lots would all access off the county road, so there wouldn't be any additional roads for you to maintain for these people to access. Would they drive across the road? I think the biggest road issue we're going to have is non-members driving around up there, and I don't know how to stop that. But back to the point of this is, I talked to my dad a little bit about what it would take for him to vote for it, the protective covenants to pass, and he did say, this would be great, but he said he would vote for the protective covenants to pass if they were in the same form that they were earlier presented with the changes we made to you can't access the law, the concerns with Brent raised. He's not in favor of having a right of first refusal on the four private lots. He said, I don't think that they probably should be sold and leave those alone. He did say, if we just address the two issues that Brent brought up of people being able to access other people's lots to clean up and that kind of stuff, and taking out all references to the declarant other than in the caption of the thing, he's okay with the protective covenants.
Can we leave that in the declarant then?
No, we took it out. He's fine with that. Brent was a section where it said, if Kathy has a bunch of junk on her property, then the declarant of the association or other members can go on her property and clean it up for her and charge her for it if she doesn't, after notice, and we took that out.
Okay.
He doesn't have a problem with that. It was in there.
based on what's normally in CCNR, so he didn't care one way or the other.
So, we're leaving that in?
Taking it out. It's been taken out. So, if we make the two changes that came right after the meeting that Brent discussed, he indicated, I don't control him, but he indicated he would vote for the protective covenants.
Regardless of
leaving this open, other than just to say in the protective covenants that we'll follow state law, whatever the statute says, as far as
yes.
That.
Mary, I got a question. If they approve this and it goes into the CCNR, is that something they still have to take back to the members, or say they decide to go ahead and do this, that they would have to approve it, or the board can just make that decision?
Well, it depends on what my dad wanted is for the board to be able to approve that decision. In this discussion with the board all said, no, if we actually get to the point where we want to develop lots, that has to go back to the membership. And the question then is, what does it require? 66% vote, 75% vote, 51% vote. That would go in the CCNR to say the members have to approve it, and here's the vote.
I've lost perspective a little bit then to what we're trying to decide for sure. And why?
That's why I asked that question. If we approve this, are the members still involved in making the decision if this is going to be developed?
That's part of what needs to be in the CCNR. Yes, we'll allow this, but what is the vote that's required to actually approve it? And that would have to be put in. I mean, I think in the discussion with the board, then the members would still have to approve that. It just wouldn't require a 100% vote or a 90% vote. It would require a two-thirds vote or a three-fourths vote.
So at this point in time, we're considering whether to allow this in the CCNR, the possibility of something like this happening.
Yeah.
Right now, it's not possible.
Right now, unless you go out and you get a 99% vote of the members, then this is not, and approval of the county, and et cetera, this is simply not possible. Can't happen if we need
so
the money.
We're trying to figure what member participation that we're comfortable with, whether it be 60% vote, 70%. You know, it's kind of been really hard to get the two-thirds majority, let alone 30-75%. But that 75% might be a protected thing, which really means we're really in favor. But that's, I think, what we're trying to decide.
Yeah, if we want to allow this, then we have to decide the minimum vote required to approve an additional subdivision of the common area, which I would suggest be at least 2/3 vote. I don't like 75% just because it's almost impossible to get. I mean, I don't know if we can get this passed. I mean, we may be wasting our time just flat out because we can't. Even if my dad votes for it and everybody in here votes for it, there's going to be certain people who don't even respond, and they have to be included in that vote. So I would propose, or I would suggest, that we leave the possibility open, and that the approval has to be 2/3 vote by the members on any proposed subdivision or division of the common area, and leave it at that and see if we can get it approved and cross our fingers.
You're going to take a straw poll, I would vote in favor of that.
Okay. How do you feel about the Bose? Sorry. I'm not playing football anymore. Joe?
I'm not in favor of doing this
at all. Okay. Kathy, how do you feel?
I have a difficult time because we are diminishing our assets of the ranch.
True.
And I do have a problem with that.
Okay, so you're a no at this point. Brad?
We can give you guys.
Oh, well, I already told you what I would vote for.
I'm in favor of it because I disagree with Kathy. I think you're improving your asset. You're increasing your value of the ranch. You're losing $50 and you're gaining $5,000, and I would do that every single day of the year.
I'm not in favor of moving forward on this until we get a little bit more public information from all of more memberships, and because I feel like we represent them, and for me to feel comfortable to vote moving forward, that give them all the information that you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, there's no rush on that. Believe me, there's no rush, and I think
until we have supportive membership, I'm not in favor of it.
So, Grant, there's two things. You're not in favor of this or the possibility of it.
wherein we would then have to totally discuss it and vote on
it. Do you have to be personally or as a board member who represents
this board member?
As a board member, I'm not in favor of it because I don't know. I would like more input from my constituents in order for me to move forward on this, because it's a big deal. I mean, we're talking about major changes here.
We're
not talking about major
changes. Maybe not this one, but say with maybe like the airport, or then they start doing other things.
Well, this is open a whole can of worms.
Keep in mind the they as well.
For right now, for the 2 years, and now, okay, then we've got somebody
that's
else
true.
Coming in.
That's true.
That's my whole thing.
Okay.
Not just that.
John, do you have an opinion before we move on?
I don't understand. I'm not understanding everything here, and I'm not looking at the charts, and my general feeling is I don't want to do it for some of the reasons I just mentioned before.
Okay.
And so I'm going to say I'm a no vote on that at this time.
Okay. With that in mind, the majority is not interested. Do we want to table this so that you can talk to other members to decide, or do we want to be done with this discussion and move on with life, revert the protective covenants to basically what they were at the last meeting with the two changes we've discussed and see if we can get them passed?
Let me make a statement here.
Okay.
I will call it and enable to shoot up on the boat.
One shoot across the bow?
I'm going to shoot that across the bow. Yeah, the elephant is not in the room. You suggested that if it does pass, then it would be a percentage of the people.
Yeah.
Three quarters or 66%. It would have to. Okay, there's my concern. The elephant has got 30% of the vote automatically. If that elephant had one vote, it would be a different story.
Mm-hmm. Not true, and I'm not
going to do so. The elephant should feed. But that's the deciding factor.
You're not getting the majority of the members.
You're not taking the memberships.
Right.
So you got 30% already sitting on top of the hill. It makes it tough for me to vote that way.
Would it change your mind if the voting percentage to approve it were higher, like 75%, rather than 2/3?
Just give the elephant one vote. That would solve the problem.
Legally we can't do that.
That influences me somewhat because 75% of the members making that decision is
I would be more comfortable that
it's 75% of the members and they're speaking for themselves and I don't have to speak necessarily for them.
Let me
we should look out for their best interest.
Let me suggest this. There's no rush on this. I brought it up as a discussion, again, to try to finalize the protective covenants. We've got a little time there. Why don't we table this for right now, this discussion, give everybody an opportunity to further, now that you understand what we're talking about or what the possibility is what we're talking about, poll members, talk to whoever you want to, and then let's vote in our next meeting whether we kill this deal and walk away and be done or whether we further entertain it. Does that make sense? I don't want anybody to rush and make a decision. At the same time, if we're done, then let's be done and not talk about it anymore. What do you think?
I think the higher percentage of my strength is the
Well, it's a fundamental change to the range.
A lot more. I don't think we should.
Okay,
I'm not against talking about this.
Well, and keep in mind,
it's because even if I am against talking about it forever, I'm off the board in a year, then the next board members can talk about it forever or whatever.
And keep in mind, this is convenient to do now because of the CTNR change that we're proposing, but it doesn't mean it can't be done in 5 years. I don't want to tell you that this is our one and only shot at this. Because the CTNR can be amended later. It gets harder and harder as time goes on just because of the diversity. And that's good for some people, having you know, having my dad's ownership of lots go down may sway things. You know, that, there's nothing wrong with that. That's reality. So don't feel like there's some pressure that this has to be approved now.
You said let's not put this out to the membership until we talk about it again.
Only because I didn't have enough information. Now I feel comfortable that I have enough information, and hopefully you guys have enough information conceptually to discuss it intelligently with and say, what do you think?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Maybe if we're all willing to say, this is what the board thought. This is what we're talking about. Phil Hall said, maybe if we had a higher 75% thing.
Okay.
Joe said no. No matter what the percent is. I don't know what you said exactly other than for it. Or you say, you know, each
thing. I think Kathy's a no. Brad, think about it depending on what things are. I'm in favor of it. Larry's in favor of it. John's not in favor of it.
I'm in favor of it with qualifications of higher membership and not diluting our ownership or somehow, you know, that equity position. Yeah. That's nitty gritty for it that actually happens and how much. That's a whole other way down the road discussion.
And the one thing I would add is as you talk to members or whatever, do not, please, do not oversell or say, I mentioned these lots, if they're approved at some point in time, could be used for power and some of these things that I want.
It's a concept.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The specifics are used to me because under no circumstances would I ever vote for anything that would diminish the views of what all of us experience at the ranch now.
But we want the philosophy feeling from the members now. We don't want the nitty gritty feeling.
Right. Understand that.
But that makes a big difference in the decision, too.
But that's definitely mm-hmm. not.
What if they choose not this area since I don't the air, you know, this opens this whole thing. Yeah, that's the condominium part. Yeah.
But it is convenient at this point in time. It's so hard to keep me out. It's like it's convenient to have flexibility. I agree with that.
I'm in favor of it because it provides flexibility for future boards and future members to not have their hands tied. But that's
a deal in the past.
No, it's not a this is a done deal. But again, I don't want to twist anybody's arm. I'm not advocating. I just want to explain. But I think it's time to move on. Okay. Any questions before we move on?
Can I kind of summarize?
I'm sure I'm glad I have that.
An official summary. You may help each one of us with a summary of how you think what we've said.
I think it'll come out, and she'll prepare the meeting minutes. And you better read what you said or what she thought you said, and add to it when you get it.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that's important. Okay. All right, let's go to, by the way, just so you know the agenda today, we're supposed to have lunch delivered at 12:30, and I'd like to be at a point by 12:30 where we can break for a few minutes, fill our plates, and then come back and finish the meeting. The other thing is we have several things to discuss in the executive session, so I'd like to get through this stuff quickly because we're going to have a little extra time there. Okay? Joe, let's go to you on gravel pit. Hopefully that can be a fairly short discussion.
Well, it is. It's not my part, or I'm not under the gravel pit, but I wanted it on the menu to talk about in reference to, I think it was two different lots wanted to buy gravel. We supplied some, then they thought it was too much money. John doesn't want to sell gravel. I think we ought to make a decision that we, with John and hopefully with Larry's input. I don't think we should be selling gravel to anybody. If they want to pay for part of it like I did and some other people on the ranch road, I'm willing to participate in that. But I'm not buying any for my lot unless I pay for it 100%. That's the way it should be.
Well, you want to come in and develop gravel yourself.
I think I got that right. I don't have a problem with that. You know, it's 100%. I mean, if somebody
wants to reserve money, it's still...
If you want to use your own equipment and you want to use your own screener and you want to get gravel and you get permits, that's a different story. But for us to pay for someone to screen the gravel and then we sell it, now we don't have what we need. I'm not in favor of that.
Mm-hmm. Don't charge for us to come back.
I agree.
Somebody wanted, at one point in time, Brent got involved with it, and they wanted, I don't know, 10 yards. Now they want 100 yards. We can't be doing that.
In a minute way, you know, hey, I got a real problem here. There's a big hole that's come out. Can I get a scoop of gravel to come up and fix that thing? And
there's a big gravel pit down the road, and they're happy to sell it.
I'm letting you.
And they'll pay to truck it out and everything. With all the gravel I put on my personal lot, I had delivered to the gravel pit and had it brought up. I didn't ask the ranch to gravel it for me or screen it.
So a quick question on that. If it's a ranch road, like a road going up to, say, Brad's lot and Rick and Nancy's lot and Vance's lot.
The ranch road, but not the private road.
Not the ranch road. That's the ranch road that we can use the gravel on.
Yeah, okay. That's what we're supposed to use it on.
There's a legal difference, by the way.
Any gravel that we use out of the pit on ranch roads, we don't have to pay the BLM for. As soon as it goes on private property, you have to pay the permit fee in addition to what we charge.
The road to my cabin
probably makes us out of the business of putting any gravel on.
Yeah, the road to my cabin cost a little over $2,200 in gravel. I paid half of it, and the ranch paid half of it, and her son hauled it and spread it. So, but that's on the ranch road. It wasn't my personal property, and I paid for half the gravel.
But I think it's a different story.
When these guys get asked, that we give them permission to maybe have two or three gravel providers on a list. And frankly, tell, hey, the closest one is this guy, or you can go in town to this guy, or. But they need something to, when people approach them, they need some help that way.
Well, I think if somebody asks us, hey, I'm building a cabin, I need you guys to bring me up some lumber, the answer is pretty easy. The answer should be the same for gravel, and that is, here's some gravel providers. We're in the business of maintaining common areas. That's it.
So should we make a motion on this gravel?
I think we specifically dealt with the equipment, mm-hmm. use of the equipment, but I don't think that we addressed the gravel itself. It's in the rules that they can take up to 100 yards. I don't think that that's a great idea. And so I would entertain a motion to suspend gravel sales other than de minimis. That means just a little bit here or there as necessary to fix a problem.
For private property, I don't think we should be selling it.
Okay.
So what's your motion? The motion that we use our gravel for our roads if we don't sell it for private property.
Have a second?
And when you say our gravel, you mean
the ranch gravel, the green gravel, the gravel that we pay to get screened.
Okay. Well, let me kind of try to explain to everybody in case you don't understand. I know most of you probably do understand. The gravel pit, the gravel belongs to the BLM. We do not own the mineral rights at that location. That location, the mineral rights.
Anybody can
go to the BLM and buy a permit and come to the ranch. They can't just do that because it is on private property. So a total stranger not associated with Durstring's Ranch can't just drive on our property, even if they bought a BLM permit. They have to get the BLM permit to take the minerals, which is the gravel, and they have to get our permission to trespass on our private property. And we usually, if it's an outsider, we've said, no, we're not interested. To ranch members, we've said, yeah, if you want to go buy a BLM permit, and if you want to pay the ranch a 50 cent per yard trespass, so to speak, so the ranch is benefiting from somebody getting it. You could never ever run out, but it's
okay.
That finite increment. The more important issue is safety. We can't allow people to come and set up equipment, whether it's me or Brad or Alan or anybody, and just set up because that's our roadway in and out, and so they have to at least notify what's going on so we're all aware
somebody's going to be working there? Are they going to keep their equipment out of the road? Are they going to keep piles of rock out of the road? We've had problems in the past of creating hazardous hillsides, hazardous pile of rock. So if there are ranch members that would like to gravel their own driveways and they have access to equipment, or they want to hire somebody with equipment, not owner, not DSROA equipment, and not taking DSROA gravel that we've already paid to screen and process for our common roads, they could get a beyond permit and make their own road base, make their own lease rock, make whatever they want. They should pay Deer Springs a 50 cent per yard royalty, so to speak, and it's not a ton of money, but it is a little bit. More importantly, it gets them on paper so we know who's there operating, and we can talk to them to say, can you keep your operation to this little corner and not block the road, and what hours are you going to operate? We don't want you in and out of there, you know, stirring up dust or making noise right during somebody's family reunion or whatever. And we can get back to them to say, you gouged out the hillside, made a really steep, very dangerous situation that needs to be dressed down, and so it's not Brad having to do it or Phil having to do it later.
So discussion on the way you
comment on this when I have a chance.
I would say you're talking about road base grade gravel that the ranch has produced.
Yeah, but we've always paid money to screen and prepare.
Gravel, to me, that could mean just...
Yeah, I'm talking about the road base gravel that we're using for our
John, you had a comment?
Yes, I do. Okay. I want to refer to the money that we charge them that goes to the ranch. Now, we've had Alan Steed and others out there that have screened some gravel with their equipment. And I say the others was, it was on a job that went up there to Heiko's place. They did it. They left their overburden there, and I had to pay Norris Church to move that. And I had to pay him to move all those gravel and get it out of the way, and they widened that whole area there. That costs money to do that. Also, this fee to pay the ranch, we have to restore that thing at some point after it's all done, because what happens, it gets all hacked up, and we got to make it look decent at the end. I had also had to pay Norris Church to go up over the top and to make repairs up there to make it look good, because we had little cliffs where stuff was coming down, and he had to make a new road to get up there so you could work and do that. And I had to pay for that out of my road funds. And so, therefore, if somebody is coming in there and they got their BLM permits and they bring their permit, bring their own equipment in there and do that, if they don't get the ranch some money, that we're at a loss, because I've already had to spend money to make those repairs. And we've typically been charging, saying we need to charge 50 cents a yard for that. Well, I don't think that is enough, but it is something.
I think it should be at 50 cents a yard for the material they take, and they are responsible for any corrective measures, you know, keeping it safe, keeping it clean, keeping it their waste material out of the way. Yeah, we can't pay the 50 cents a yard would nowhere cover
final inspection for anything over 20 yards or 50 yards. A final inspection by the road base guy, John.
Sometimes they're in there and gone, and how do you make them come back? But anyway,
I think the lot owner has to be responsible. That, you know, they may hire me to come in there and I gouge it out and make a miserable mess and then take off, and it was Joe that I was working for, and so, hey, Joe's got to be able to pay for it.
Joe's got to either pay it or see that his contractor pays it.
Right.
And
we need to, depending on what happens today, we need to revise the rules and regulations as it relates to the gravel pit.
Yeah.
So, I missed a little bit of it. Are we ready to finish your motion?
I'll make a motion that basically, in general, that we come up with a new plan and let's do it by the next board meeting.
Let's do it right now. I think I'll make a motion that we suspend any further gravel sales, meaning sales of processed green gravel to anyone. And that we revise the rules as it relates to continued mining in the gravel pit as to the non-screen stuff and adjust the rules. Does that make sense? I cover what you wanted.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, did you get it?
We're going to take a 10-minute break to fill our plates up with food. Those of you who are on the phone, we're sorry we can't squeeze it through. Hopefully we have enough. Yeah.
We'll have the discussion of the parks and donation first while you're finishing, and then we're going to return to the financial. We didn't do any of the office or financial reports, so
okay.
Eat for a minute while we have a fairly short discussion. The parks and donation, and then we'll see what we get to. All of you should have gotten in your list of materials the bar graph that shows what responses have been as far as the donation. And okay.
A lot of companies. And I was surprised when I saw the bar graph, but it seemed like. So I'm questioning out of ignorance, really. But it seemed like cabins were higher than what I really built my reserve team start.
I think Kathy was trying to stack the deck towards cabins.
Think? Well, I did the same thing you did, and cabins was up there on the top.
Cabins was up there.
But you can go through and
there were more combinations of cabin pavilions.
Yeah. I felt like there were. I will be honest and say this wasn't last year. I did try to go through and I thought we all were highlighting more about everything to make sure, but I was never thinking that I'm perfect at it. So I'm sure that I probably missed a few and it may not be 100% accurate. But it's close as possible.
Okay. So I think we can take this as a direction as to the importance that people, the members have on different areas in the ranch, not just in relation to the, I don't think we should call it a donation, by the way. It's not a donation. It's kind of a pledge more than a donation, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about. The question is now that we have the feedback from ranch members, where do we go from here and how and who discusses that with the Clarksons to try to figure out how we get moving forward?
So what's the discussion with you? But I
think in the meeting minutes, didn't you get what I did not want to
make? Yeah, I remember that.
I think we need to figure it out, and I'm willing to try to help. It's not something I would prefer not to if anyone else has any interest. But I think we need to get some direction and find out if this is for real or if we're all jumping through hoops. I don't want to make that sound bad on one way or the other, but the reality is it's time to make some decisions and either start spending some money or say this is never going to happen and move on with life.
And there were a number of comments in there saying, don't, just say no.
I understand that sentiment. Believe me, I understand that sentiment. But I think we ask for the benefit of everyone. And if it happens, great. If it doesn't happen, we move on with life and don't turn it into anything more than what it is. That's my opinion.
I know that when it was put as a donation at the meeting, and we were told to put our thoughts together on what we thought it would go for. We did. We got through that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And at the first year, they said to have the board members put something together
mm-hmm.
and have a total plan, breakdown on expense. We got through that, too.
That one actually came from me, but I agree with you. You went to a great deal of effort in breaking down costs and everything else.
And then it was decided, no, we don't want the board to have the input we want the members, which I'm totally for. That's what we're here for, is as board members. And we just don't do that. And I'm on board, either let them take some money back or let's do what we need. Well, that's the whole thing.
It was set aside. But it's so not money. It's not
feeling either of these top, any of these top three things. I'm pretty sure Kevin's already heard that Catholics isn't an interest, but civilian or communication?
They're very in favor of communication. The problem is I've met with several individuals that could possibly help us with that, and the response I've gotten is you don't have enough money on this side of the world to make that happen. So,
communication.
That's what I was told.
Yeah. Cell phone companies have a limited number of spots they can put up, and there's not enough coverage. There's not enough use there. They're not interested. I talked to a guy who handles AVI here, and they used to do television as well as other radio communications. He says that's fine, but you'll have to do like three jumps at $100,000 each jump to get from Canab to out there for communication.
Yeah, and what about the high speed fiber optics that we have there?
If we want to spend all the money on that, we could get one connection. So
one connection means
one internet connection at our house
to the rest, but then they can't be
say $100,000 each jump.
Uh huh.
Then how much after that for
up to 6 months? That I didn't even get to because we didn't have... AWI, the main guy up there, the developer I talked to, went through maps and everything else, and he said anything's possible, it's just a matter of cost, and we were just talking about installation, we weren't talking about maintenance, because each one of those places, if you don't have permanent power,
right.
You got to run a generator or solar and a solar panel, solar city. The point is I got to the point where I realized as technology exists right now, communication is probably not going to be... We have to wait until we have a better satellite system or something.
Okay.
So,
this kind of zeroes the depth of what I was thinking about. So, the cabin, communication, or pavilion, if I were there, I would love to have a beautiful pavilion at the ranch headquarters that is called the Dale Academy. However, we make an honor. And then, to build that pavilion, what I'm going to suggest is we get behind one of these things, and I'm kind of holding them. We can go to them and say, this is what we would want, and we think it's what we want, and this is what the members general want. The pavilion may cost us, the kind of pavilion we want, more than $50,000. And so we say, we would suggest that by end of whatever degree it was, 2020, first we've got to get a design and a cost estimate, and it might be $80,000 to $90,000, I guess. My guess is sort of
we could do something that could
something new.
And we take their money and we pledge it to that.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't do it, it just goes back to. And if each year we have had maybe 5,000 to 8,000 we've put in reserve. And we pay it up.
I absolutely agree. I think we need to get behind one item and say, this is what we really want to do. Are you going to participate or not?
If by participation, do we need to have a date where that would be positive and it's understood or trust owned or whatever, it's not touched.
I agree, and I think I don't necessarily agree with their position. I think the cabin's really, we're going to have to, bottom line is we're going to have to fund the upgrade and the maintenance of the cabins moving forward. We just have to figure that out and make it happen. Because we can't ignore them, but they haven't expressed any interest in it. That's right.
I think that some of that feeling may change if they go and see a lot of the things that you've done.
Have you seen it?
I see pictures.
Oh.
I haven't been in there. I didn't want to smoke you anymore. But if we're
in there, we're still in that position, though. Sometimes for 5 or 10 years, we're going to be seeing whether or not
forever.
So, as a board, and you guys want me to, first of all, can we agree that we focus on a pavilion?
I think that's something else to walk in. I would prefer.
I think you need to take a membership.
We do it on the cabins, but that's not an interest.
That's what he wanted, and I think you should take that up to him.
He's received the input.
Yeah,
come
but
in.
He does not. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to have the light in.
I said so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
hey, Barry,
they haven't asked him, or nor have I met with him since the last couple times that we've updated. But when I met with him about maps, and this was in preparation for the last meeting that didn't happen, it didn't seem to be going very far. I'm more than happy to say we want you to revisit that and review the possibility of cabins, and here's why. It should help him market property. It should help him, you know, sell the lots that he's got. It makes sense, but at the end of the day...
Well, I do want to talk about the cabins a little bit. Some of the stuff that we have found when we've taken down some of the issues that we've had within the walls, the propane plumbing has not been good. We had a stovepipe that was not connected in 7. It was not even connected. I mean, we've got some real issues that need to be addressed.
I agree.
And we could have some real problems if we just keep ignoring the cabin.
Right.
We haven't been totally ignoring them, and I think we should.
No, I know Doug put some a lot of. But,
oh, we've spent a lot of money on the roof.
I understand that.
So you're going to have a few minutes when we get to your time, and let's save this cabin discussion for that. Dan, sound like somebody was trying to break in on the phone for a comment.
That was me, Barry. Can I have a few minutes or a few seconds here?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. It occurred to me, and has occurred to me, that we're kind of approaching this from the wrong direction. I think just about everybody would agree with me that Dale is a meticulous planner. He knows what he wants to do. Sometimes he makes it up as he goes, but he knows what he wants to do. Does everybody sort of agree with me on that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then why don't we ask him what he's willing to fund?
We've asked him on multiple occasions, and the answer is we want to hear from the members. I've asked him that. John's asking that. Larry's asking that. I think he has a feeling for what he wants to see happen, but for whatever reason, he has been unwilling to share that until he heard back from the members, and I think we're to the point where we have input from the members that needs to be presented to him, and somebody needs to discuss it with him. And then,
so I
agree with you. I would have thought that we were going out of the wrong direction as well, just asking what he wants. But
We tried that on several occasions, and the answer was always, well, I want to hear what you guys want to do and what your suggestions are. We want to hear from the membership. So,
okay. Well, to use one of his favorite expressions, it's time to fish or cut bait, and I think that's what you're doing. You're saying, here's the deal, but we're getting a little tired of the runaround, and we need to do something.
Yeah, I think we need to present them with an idea and have a yes or no and then move on.
Okay. All right. I'm with that.
I believe he's got a plan, but he doesn't want us to tell him unless we suggest what it is. He doesn't want to plant that seed.
Well, is everybody okay with me if we move forward? I talk to him now that we have input from members and see what I can do with the focus of saying the pavilion seems like it is high priority to members, it's high priority for us, and try to get a decision one way or the other. It has to be decided. So, can you get that in the meeting minutes? Or are you making a motion
that we propose that we stipulate to Dale and Kathy our favorable position and desire to grow a pavilion not limited to $50,000? A pavilion that will bear recognition to me, and that we may stipulate the time within not a word that we will build it, and their deposit of their funds by the end of 2011, and that we will sell the stand drawn out.
I think that's part of what we're going to do is present that to him.
Okay,
and say, we've reviewed it. Maybe I assumed wrong, but we're going to present him as a member.
The pavilion. I think we need to
do what he says and see what he wants to do.
Okay.
That's why I said name, because I elicited your
time. Are you ready to say based on the fact that communications are way out of line, that's the thing I'm in favor of is that we are trying to narrow down the discussion. And so I'm proposing that we ask that we are stipulating we're building a club more. That's my proposal. When it comes to cabin maintenance, I'm not going to be shy in our next couple of discussions about how we think about that. But and I do think that's a high priority for me as well. But as far as the Dale Kathy Clarkson issue, I think that's the most reasonable.
Did that explanation change your vote from yay to something else, Brad?
Does it matter?
Sure, your vote always matters.
I'm okay with you just taking this chart to him and say, okay, and this is what we have.
I'm going to take the chart and the feedback, but I'm going to, based on Phil's proposals, and I'm going to say, we feel like the pavilion's the thing to do. Are you in or out?
We're trying to get an in or out. Thank you. Like you said, you're trying to just drag it on. And it doesn't hurt us, or in my opinion, for it to drag on a little bit farther. Maybe he has an idea that he hasn't told us about and was waiting for us to tell you.
Well,
to come up with. And so if it is, it's time to, I agree with him to, you know, grab it up.
I think that discussion, we feel like the pavilion is the thing to do, and if he's open to discussion of cabins, I'm going to bring that back. And the bottom line is, yes.
Okay, I'm totally ready to be done with this and start moving forward. So yeah.
Okay. Anybody didn't change your so name?
Well, you said you were going to bring that up. That's the whole thing. Is he asked for this to be done. We did it. It needs to be brought up. Well, that's what I propose.
So does that change your nature?
Yes, yay. Okay.
All right, John's a yay. Larry's somewhere goofing off, so it passes either way. Okay, I will do that. Let's go back to the beginning and have the financial report and the office report. Let's keep them fairly short because I think that number 9 is going to take a little while and we have quite a bit to cover in executive session. So, oh, sorry.
What she's handed over now, there was an international biking tour that I brought up a couple of high meetings ago. This Kurt guy gets a Mexico to Canada run. They want to know if he's okay for Summer Group because for the day, even though it's long during deer season, he's going to be bike over.
Are they traveling during deer season?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's year, whatever they want.
I told them I thought it would be fine
to bring
it up. We
can't stop them. We can't stop them from going on the road. Okay. I would,
because the bike thing's already established.
They're not,
already come to deer.
They're not permitted without permission to camp on the ranch property. If they ask, then I wouldn't turn them down either. So
I'm going to bring that up.
Okay. Mariah.
So I just handed out, could I have just a minute? Does anybody want any more food in there? I'll leave the pie or bring it in here. Anybody want any more ribs or full cooked stuff? Okay, because I was going to kind of put things in the refrigerator. That's all I wanted to know. I didn't want to pull it from you. And she did it to me. Okay, I'm good.
Candy, Dan, not to clean up something.
I know, she's awesome.
Very good.
Okay.
Okay, on the cost sheet that you just received, for those of you, for example, John doesn't have any expenditures. The cost sheet shows you what's been spent out of your budget. Mary, you don't have one in there yet. So all of you can see where it's been spent so far. That's a detailed list. When you flip over to this page, the profit loss, you'll see that same amount on there. This is just a breakdown for your board members, again, to see where your money is being spent in your categories.
Okay, that
would be like,
okay.
So the P&L perspective, that's for you to invest in your water. Anything that's been spent under the water budget for 2019. Yeah, I can hope so.
Appreciate that.
Okay, so then for the I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to find you.
Well, I was just going to tell you got most of it. I was going to say the checking account has got 1,900 in it for the ranch managers. The regular checking has got 110,900.
Savings were at 34,800. And on the other savings, we got 2,000 on a special account. So we're all good there. We're collecting, I don't know, what, almost 80% of our dues, I think? 75% we've collected, so we're looking good.
We're about, I think at this point we'll see a couple more trickle in. We probably will have some help as well.
So, like I said, according to the profit and loss and the budget one for the cabins, we're in good shape, except for we haven't got the final on, well, you're on cabin 7, right? That you're doing. Yeah. Yeah, we haven't got the final on that yet, so but it's coming along real good according to the picture. So I think overall we're pretty good. We collected all the money for the water haulers. We're all doing good there. I don't foresee a problem. Not much change since January, really, other than cabin 7.
Just a note on water haulers. There's a bill going through Utah to start charging sales tax on a bunch of stuff that was pulled yesterday. It will come back later in the year. Not much we can do about it, number one, because our lobbying place is non-existent. Number two, it won't be that big of a deal on a $50 annual fee. If they do charge sales tax, you're going to end up spending $3, $3 or $4. I mean, we'll have to charge an extra $3 or $4 for sales tax. I don't think it's worth putting a ton of effort into because it won't make any difference anyway. And we have all the attorneys, doctors, lawnmowers, and everyone else in the state is opposing it for us. So I don't think it's, other than just your information, I don't think there's anything we need to do. While you're on the water hall thing and we're in financials, you know what Venmo is?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Use all time.
Can we establish a Venmo account for the ranch so people can just Venmo their money to pay the water hall fees and then it's all over? So if you don't have any extra work for Mariah, or we don't have any
for us to. There's Venmo, there's PayPal, there's a new Zelle that most of the banks use. That's up to Mariah, whatever makes it easiest for her to do. I certainly would approve that. That's an administrative decision to make it easier for our members to send money.
And if you have to write a check, if you have a reservation fee, if you don't do that. It's basically, on my phone right now, I could pay for my reservation fees, and it's already at Mariah, and she'll have an account of that. But I propose that we just have an electronic account because there's a lot of people that will pay the ranch money. So I make a proposal to have to create a Venmo account for the ranch. It's going to save us money. It's going to make it a lot more convenient for Mariah and the members. And it's instant.
It don't cost you anything as long as it's in my bank account. So if I have my side link it to my bank account, I can send money for it.
But you don't have to make a phone call, your caller, and
that way they put limit to Venmo.
Mariah, will you just look into that between now and the next meeting and see how difficult or easy it would be? It's a matter of downloading an app on the phone or something and identifying it. And I'm not technologically savvy, but it's pretty easy.
The only thing I can see that would come up is if it would fall under a commercial category. That's the only thing I can see where it may be registered. But I don't know.
Check it. Just look into it and bring us back information on next meeting. I think it's a good idea.
We can cancel our Venmo account if we decide that we don't want it or whatever. Well, we should have if other people use PayPal. Well, Venmo is a form of PayPal anyway, but if there's another thing that comes up. I'd like to get in there because I'd like to send money and I'd like to be just like this and be gone for sure. So it's a 5-minute to make this whole thing happen.
PayPal does charge us. I've done this with another nonprofit organization. They will charge, but we're already having to pay one merchant services company. If we use PayPal, we'd have to pay them too. That's one of the reasons we haven't switched to a pay online button because the current merchant services person we're with doesn't offer that for our website that PayPal will cost
you
additionally. So I'll look at Venmo and see if
that's... There's Venmo and there's Zelle. Most of the banks are going to Zelle. They don't, like PayPal will hold your money for you in an account and you have to ask for it. Zelle is just, I want money to go from here to here. They don't hold anything. They don't keep your information and so it's easy. It's okay. The same thing as Venmo. They don't hold your money or keep an account for you.
Venmo is okay.
Okay.
And if there's one that doesn't cost you any money, I propose that we just go ahead and set it up.
I don't have a problem with that. If there's no cost, there's no reason not to set it up. I'll second the motion if that's your motion.
I make the motion that we set up an electronic push button page for the convenience, as long as there's no cost for it.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. All right.
Anything else, Mariah?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay. So, new members. So, for 2019, we welcome four new members. One of them is with us today. Danny Coleman has just purchased lot 252. Don Ray has purchased lot 63. And Julie, who's with us today, Julie Hymus, and her husband, Tony.
I don't know if they got on the road.
Thank you. Julie and Tony have purchased lot 225. And Aaron Long has purchased lot 218. So far. Assessments, we already discussed 75% of the membership. I've already received their dues. We probably will have a few that we will need to discuss for collection coming up. Water hauling contracts, right now we only have 11 members. Last year I think we had closer to 20. But they've just been kind of trickling in. I anticipate a lot more will come in if we actually can go through the ranch. And Brad, we'll probably have them. Okay. In 2019, so far we have 21 reservations on the books for Kevin. Okay, and a couple of things for office business. So Barry already brought up the water tax. We already discussed that one. Phil already brought up the reminder on the backpacking routes traveling, that they'll be traveling through the ranch and around the ranch and all of that through this year. We may see more of them. Just a reminder, I wanted to get on the minutes. I've been working with Dale. He's receiving a lot of member mail in his office. And so we've coordinated. I picked that up. I have it now. Just a general reminder to members, please don't send me your mail, your personal mail. I would not like to receive your bank statement or your direct TV bill or any other.
Can I get in on that too?
Yes. So please, as members, like lot owners? Lot owners, yes. So please just remember, do not use 160 Drive, Clarkson Investments, and please do not use PO Box 254 and have you thought for your member mail. Thank you. Okay, and then, let's see, I have one other. Oh, one of the things that didn't make it on the agenda but that needed to be discussed was the fourth study. I just had a note to bring that up and help an appropriate time to discuss that if we want to discuss it later. And the discussion was on the expenses of the company now that we're just
I'm going to make a proposal down those lines. The ranch caretakers meet with the board member over equipment and figure out whether it's time to replace that and come to the board with a recommendation, and then we simply approve it. I don't know enough about trucks to be of any use. When they break, I either fix them, and if they say it's beyond fixing, then they get a new one. Not a new one, but one that will serve. And so there's no reason to have a discussion here about whether it's time or not time. I think that, Joe, you're over equipment?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Deciding what maintenance is going to be done, and I get confused by some of that.
I think there needs to be a discussion with you guys, and then the recommendation comes to the board that, yes, it's time to get something new, or let's keep fixing it. That work for everybody? Or do you want to? Not necessarily. That's my suggestion.
Okay.
It's easier for you guys to decide. You guys need to decide what you need, and obviously you want to keep it at a minimum, but there comes a time when it's time to replace equipment rather than opinion. But I don't know enough to make that decision. Joe certainly can. Larry can be involved in that discussion. Brad, I don't know. Phil, you might. I have no business being involved in that decision. So let's have them discuss it and decide between now and our next board meeting what the recommendation is, and then we'll simply adopt it or not.
Because I told them I'm on it.
If the decision is maybe we should replace it, then we need to do a little chopping and come with a budget of we think it's going to cost us $8,000 or $12,000 or $50,000 to replace it. Does that make sense? All in favor of that?
Speaking of the truck, you can see it's really dirty. Like, use the debit card to go to a car wash, the debit card that you're going to see, where you want to go to the bank, and you can take a cash withdrawal out of the bank so we can go wash the truck.
We've already spent lots of our own money.
Because
it ruins the truck to drive with it like that. But I mean, when NPR went for it, he said it was like 15 pounds of mud.
Some
parts of the
truck. Most
of the car washes aren't going to let you go through. I'll tell you that right now.
They don't. We have to spray it off manually.
Yes, you have to go get the hose and spray it off.
Yeah, that's what we've done. We've spent a lot of our own money doing that. We're asking if we can use the better money to spray off.
We do, but...
Well, why would we do that? To make them more ponds that we're driving through on the gravel. We're literally driving on a pond right now.
So
we have the electric that plugs into the generator.
Does it work for you?
The only time I have to use a generator, which runs, I don't want to use my own. Well, Michael, my question is, okay, if you're going to pressure wash the truck, what difference does it make if you pressure wash it at the ranch house? Or if you pressure wash it in town. Either way, you got to go through the same dirt road to get it.
Right.
It's going to get just as dirty either way. If you might as well just do the ranch house.
That's why I should be at the ranch house. In the wintertime, that's not what the temperatures are there and the hose.
Well,
I don't agree with the ice pond or where, you know, out of the parking lot or whatever.
You're going to wash it, pressure wash it, then go.
Well, if you pressure wash it in town, you're going to drive back to the ranch because it's just as dirty. 10 minutes after you wash it.
Right, but here's the thing. It just builds up and builds up and builds up and doesn't have a chance to break off or come down because we just keep adding to it. So what we're saying is, as far as what Mike's saying, or in Seattle, is that this amount of mud is partly damaging the vehicle. And our own vehicle as well. I mean, now we have to do a line. Yeah, it's dumb, but anyway, we're just saying, if you'll allow us to wash the truck, great. If not, we'll just drive with the truck.
Or we can pay for it for a little bit.
I don't think that's a problem. It's your raise the maintenance. I don't want it to get out of hand, but basically if you spend money on ranch equipment that needs to be done, then turn in a receipt and it shouldn't be a problem.
There's a handwritten receipt, wash the truck. But like I say, you wash it in Canada, it's gonna get just as dirty before you get up there.
I do what you have to do to keep the equipment in a good condition.
We're not talking about
I'm at the ranch typically 3 or 4 times a week, sometimes every day, sometimes 3 times in a day. I never wash my truck. The appearance, I could care less what kind of mud is on it, if I can see out the window, but I wash the undercarriage almost every trip because it eats your brakes, it eats your wheels. You'll get mud in your rims if you leave it set, and it becomes a concrete block. Your alignment is out. You'll get that dead shimmy and throw you off the road just from mud.
That's what we're dealing with.
And so my daughter thought I was crazy this week because I pulled into town, and I was laying on my back in the car wash, washing underneath, and the guy that owns the car wash walked out, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And, I mean, I spent $10 underneath my truck and then drove away with my truck looking like it had been through a mud hole.
Yeah, that's exactly what we, and that's for that purpose only because we can tell the difference in how it drives and our brakes.
I dropped the skid plate off underneath my transfer case and transmission, 250 pounds.
I don't think any of us are objecting to you watching it.
No,
all of them don't. But I say you got to, it's just a journey when you get back, and you may have to do it again when you get through. I got a pressure washer at my cabin. I've been doing this for 30 years. Pressure washer up there in the air. Spray all over the
field. Hey, anything else? For you?
I've had so much mud on the underside, my pressure well fell out.
So did his.
Okay. We later now promote investing in cap operated pressure washer instead of generator operated.
That would make sense where we're at.
Half of the right rear fender well is just past the gravel fitting. And the county road is by changing. If you look at your right rear on that fork, plastic liner.
Makes it easier to spray and make
there. Okay, moving right along. Number 9, Mariah.
Okay. So So what I've done is we've tried to prepare information. We had a discussion, it's been an ongoing discussion, how can we simplify the reservation process for members? And this has mainly come up when I worked with Dale, actually. He was feeling really frustrated with the system. When I first came on, and since then I think we've been able to mitigate a lot of those problems. But it comes up every once in a while. The biggest thing is, right now, I have to say, my process is, I'm used to it. So I understand what it is, I feel like it's become not a problem. However, I think there is something to be said for having a rate across the board. Members can plan on, what I find is when I visit with members following their visit, I get a report that has each day lined out with so many people this day and so many people this day and so on. And so I felt like if we had an across-the-board nightly rate, it would be helpful to them, it would be helpful to us, we would know what our income was going to be, maybe a little bit better. However, when you start talking about adding a nightly rate, it does start talking about changing the money. So I went in and I've done a lot of research. I have notes and notes and calculations, and I'm happy to share everything I've learned. But in short, what I've learned is, in 2017 and 2018, based on how many nights the cabins were used and how much we bought in per place, pay per place, our rate comes up being between $7 and $7.50 a night for the cabin time for the season that's available. So that's across the board how much that we're bringing in. What I've also found,
what's that number?
$7.50 a night.
What does it represent?
It represents how much we're bringing. If we had a nightly rate, we would need at least $7.50 a night to be status quo. From here on out, that's
how much pay for play is paying right now. Yes. But we're spending a bunch of time figuring out how do we calculate that instead of just saying, let me interrupt for one second. There are two parts to this. I want to be clear. There's the ease of operation of paperwork and deciding how we bill. And then there's what we do or how much we bill. Those are two separate things. And I'll just state before I let you go on, I think absolutely we need to simplify the process. It needs to be the same for everybody, and it needs to be consistent and easy, and it needs to be billed at the time of reservation up front so they pay, with the exception of damage, needs to be taken care of. How much? That's a little bit different discussion, and I'll tell you just going into this, my feeling is we have to charge something to cover those things. I'm not in favor of just doing away with it. But let's keep those two things separate. The simplicity of the operation, I don't think anybody can debate that we should be trying to calculate. I had 5 people on Wednesday, we had 7 people on Thursday, but I only had one on. We shouldn't ask that. We should say, you want the cabin, it holds to 6 people or 10 people. This is the rate. And you charge it at the same time that you make the reservation, and we walk away and we're done. We don't spend a lot of time messing with it. Is anybody opposed to simplifying the process? I'm not talking about amount. Anybody opposed to simplifying the process?
I'm going to simplify it.
Okay.
I just want to increase. I just want to simplify it.
Well, what Mariah and correct me, and I'm going to let you go. Sorry, I hate to butt in. I just don't want this to go all over the place. Your proposal that came in, one of your proposals was maintaining the status quo, and then there was another one that was a little bit higher, and then there was one that says, if we want to make money on the cabins, this is what it is. Brad responded and said, I don't think we should be making money on the cabins, and I agree with him. I think at this point in time, we should talk about simplifying the process, and then as a separate discussion, which we can also have today, whether that rate should go up or down. But let's keep them separate so that we know what we're talking about. Does that make sense?
To clarify, members should have influence in this proposal that we're talking about. And so if the members, if this is what the direction that we want to go, I'm for
in
the direction. But what I'm against is 7 people making the rules for the rest of the people, and they don't have an opportunity to give us input. Today is the first time on record now that this has come up, public discussion, even though we've had a private discussion.
Let me outline what I see the process. Anybody jump in if you feel. What I suggest is that we today adopt a proposal that says we're going to do this as the process,
and here are one or two options as to the amount. We then submit that and send it out to members' input, and then after we have members' input, we decide which amount we deal with at that point. But I don't think there's anybody out there that says, let's keep the process complicated. I don't think that necessarily has to be held open for discussion. Yeah.
The other part, Brad, you're talking about the
language.
We do represent the members.
Okay.
That's why
the CRO
board.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. Let me
Okay. I'm not saying I don't want member input. We get member input all the time. We've had it over the years. But if I have to, and then the line between me and you is, when do I have to ask what kind of toilet paper I buy or not?
That gives you like that.
Okay. All right.
But it does make a difference. They might not have voted for me if they knew that I was going to increase the cap rate. So, like, if it came down to where I was a 50-50 vote, and there was 300 votes, 150 votes for me, 150 votes for me here, and if they knew that I was going to increase the cap rate, one guy would have made the difference between who's sitting at the table making up the rules, too. So, it does make a difference.
Overall,
it gives visibility to all of our membership for what we're doing here. When it affects their lives.
That's why we do have notes and images. They can listen to recordings. They can read it online.
This is the first time this is.
Well, this might be the first time for you. We've had this discussion for hours, maybe 4 years ago.
Let me ask this just to pull us moving. Is there anybody on the board? It feels like that what we're charging in pay-for-play right now should be increased.
I do if we want to increase our upgrade of the academy.
We're going to check the channels of the
academy. And I disagree there. I think that if we... I'm not against increasing funds to fix the cabins, don't get me wrong. But I think everybody should pay to fix the cabins, not just the guys that are doing it. So if it's just general cap... I think maintenance and pay-for-play is going to cover for all that. But if we're going to do some major renovations and stuff, unless you're willing to give up your rights to the cabin and the people who pay for the cabin for the major renovations should benefit from that money that they put into us, the members that they're putting into the money, if it's going strictly for that.
Let me address one thing that you said just so that we don't get off on the wrong foot. As it stands right now, you cannot give up your right to cabin use for a discount on the fees. Otherwise, then the people that say, I don't use the roads as much, you can't do that. That's just not possible, so let's not discuss it.
Okay.
Either we...
That was a ridiculous point.
No, I understand your point.
But the meaning behind the point.
And I understand we need to be careful. Some of us as board members have our own cabin, some of us don't, and it could be viewed differently, and I want to be careful there. But I wanted to ask the question, and it appears that there are some board members who like what we used to call pay-for-play or reservation fees or whatever should be raised, like some of the benefits and improvement of the cabins. That's right, and I understand that. I was just asking that because, again, I think we can all agree simplification needs to happen. And what I would suggest is that we ask Mariah to create three scenarios. One, that's a 10% discount off of what we're currently paying, which would lower the rates for reservation fees or whatever we want to call them. Just let me finish. One that keeps the status quo, and one that raises the cost of cabin use for those that use the cabin and provide for those. And then at that point, then we send the proposal to the members just for feedback. At some point in time, these seven people have to decide, is this the rule or is this not the rule?
And
go ahead.
Either we may do this thing here, the simplification together, in the whole discussion of this part, it should be divided, in my mind. We have, all as members, we bought our membership, we had these cabins, we're to make, so, the roof. I mean, here's one list, and there's got to be another list. The roof, the walls, the foundation, the
fire,
major plumbing, the there are major things. You have this obviously. Usually there's triple net lease kind of things.
Yep.
And so the owner maintains those major things. Those ranch members, I think, that should be one thing. That should be the thing we all have the responsibility.
I agree.
And the lease will approve to get the air conditioner goes out. I have
some used linens, air conditioning, refrigerators, water heaters, screen doors.
Couches. Whether it's wood or wallpaper or refrigerators, that's a whole lot different. That's what I want to see.
And right now, that we have, so right now the income we're bringing in, I made a couple of charts. Right now we're bringing in from those who are paying the cabins, they're paying about 66% of that.
Of
the overall.
That's the overall. That's what I would like to divide that overall. And then we can really look at what everybody's responsibility and what's going on and how you can do it. That's what I think.
Yeah, I've heard this comment before about people that have cabins shouldn't make a vote because they have a conflict of interest.
Oh, right. Well, that's not what I said.
No, not matter, but no.
That's what Brad said. But I'm here to tell you. He owns a cabin, I own a cabin, she owns a cabin, Ken Lent did, Brent Fulmer did, Jody did. All those people have donated probably more money and more time and more hours to do exactly that at no charge compared to everybody else. We have every right to do as much as anybody else. There's nobody that puts in more time than Brent or Ken. Fred Sterl, we've all donated money every single time. And then I always been, I'm being told, you own a cabin, you shouldn't have a bonus cabin.
Yes. I said we need to be careful of the perception.
You should have a vote ratio. That's what I'm saying. You shouldn't sit on the board without member influencing. That's why we're on the board. We do our influence. They don't know what we're voting for. They don't know. If we have these meetings in the dark and it's not on the table on the thing, nobody knows about this issue until right now.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, it's invisible, and if everybody has a vote, and I'd like to hear it.
Well, I think we do need to have a member. They don't get to make the decision, but I think that whether in order to get member input, we have to send out an email or communication saying, this is the discussion and these are the options. As it stands right now, I don't think we're prepared to put in black and white as of this minute. I think we need to put a proposal in place, send to the members and say, how do you feel about that? So, what I would suggest, again, and I don't know the numbers, but I think that we need to call the members and say, we are going to convert from, for simplicity's sake, pay-for-play is dead, it's gone. We are going to institute a use fee, and it's going to be the same based on the occupancy of the cabin, so we don't have to ask how many, and we're going to do that. The second part of that is we want to pull the members saying, do you want to increase the cost of that so that we can pay for upgrades and better take care of the cabins? Do you want to maintain the status quo, or do you want a 10% decrease because you feel like you're being overcharged? I'm not saying that's going to ultimately be the decision, but I think we asked that question. Does anybody object to asking the membership to respond to that kind of a question?
No, and I think there's other avenues to find your question. And we divide what's what.
Well, I think we have to absolutely have to. There's three categories. Just so you know, in my mind, there's three categories. There's structural, and there's issues with structural. There are the tenant improvement stuff, heating, air conditioning. I don't know. I'm used to building hotels here. Furniture, refrigerators, those kind of things. And then there's the usable toilet paper, paper towels, and dish soap, and those kind of things. Those are three different categories. I don't think there's any question that the cost is fairly minimal, but the members using the cabin should pay the toilet paper and the cost of paper towels. It's the middle that is where the bulk of the expense is. As to whether we replace furniture, whether we buy a new fridge, and those kind of things,
That's the issue that I think we're dealing with. I don't think anybody's arguing that the membership as a whole should pay for roofing, for exterior, for, you know, 2x4 walls, fixing the stairs, those kind of things that have to do with the structure of the building. Does that make sense? Does anybody disagree with that?
No, that makes sense to me, and that's why I wanted to
And that's why I'm asking Mariah to put together a proposal that identifies those, sends it to us, we look it over and make modifications, then we send it to membership in hopes that our next meeting, then we'll have membership input that we can then discuss and vote on which option we'd like or tweak one of those options. And if it overwhelmingly the members write back, this is a bunch of crap, I don't want it at all, then we have the information. We still have to make a decision, and I don't think that's practical, but we have their input. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
I had the input on the status quo based on the last 2 years. We've noticed in the budget the amount of money extra that it's costing. So there is a degree of inflation. So when you say status quo, I don't want something back in 2016 or 2017 because the amount of money it takes to supply those goods. So how do you define the word status quo? Maybe in relation to 2019 now or 2020. So that's the only thing I'm saying.
And I think Mariah's in the best position to give us real numbers, and that is don't take 1975 costs because we can't do it for that. Take the most current numbers you've got.
But when they come up with a final thing, we say, this is what you say, this is currently.
Absolutely. We're going to have to adjust this as part of the budget every year.
This is currently. We haven't been able to say this way.
Does that work for everybody? I don't want to cut you off. I don't want to eliminate discussion, but I want to be productive. And I don't think we can be productive until we have something in writing that we can send out and get feedback and then vote on options rather than just discussing what we're all happy about.
Right.
Does that make sense? Mariah, can you do that?
I think she's fairly close already. The three proposals you had.
Well, there's
one attached. You can look over this one, which this is the one I brought today. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it. This is for our discussion today. It does include three proposals. However, it does not include the decrease. It includes staying where we're at. It includes a little bit of an increase.
I think we have to ask the membership and give them an opportunity to say, I don't like this at all, or I want to pay less. We need to give them that option. That doesn't mean that that'll necessarily be the decision of the board, but I think we have to ask them the broad spectrum.
The question I had in discussion is, by saying less, we're already not really doing all we need to or can. I would like to make a proposal that we do not include the less experience for children.
Can I
look for a second off?
What do you think, Gavin Levy?
I got lost with your different proposal.
He's basically saying, I suggested we give them three options, one including a 10% decrease of what used to be pay for play. He's saying we're already scraping by. Decreasing those fees is just not an option. So, what do you think? It would mean we'd have to take more out of the general budget. It would mean we'd have to take more out of the general budget to take care of the maintenance and repairs in the cabins.
To me, the decrease option isn't viable simply because whether we ever use a cabin or never use a cabin, it's part of what we own, it's part of the association value, and we each should be paying something. I don't use the cabins, and so the pay per play or the rental fee or whatever, I don't contribute anything through that. Whether it goes up or down or stays the same, whether it's.
But you're okay, you're maintaining the cabin. Absolutely. I agree.
That's
what we want to do.
Exactly,
so we got
to stop
it.
Plus, it's the value of your lot. Your lot has more value if you have.
Totally in favor.
If we give an option of a reduction, then that means that me, as a non-user, my association dues, which I'm on the board, everybody else's association dues has to be taxed more for cabin, has to be diverted to the budget.
We don't want to
know, we don't have to.
The alternative would be down the road ultimately raising the dues.
There are some other alternatives. I think people would voluntarily donate money to a certain project. If you say, we're going to propose a project, and I think there'd be
a little bit. Even time. You know, it's been, we've only had, what, 5, maybe 6 people that have come up and donated time.
Which I think Kathy's working in the cabin to see what's happening. We have never, until this year, had the kind of improvements in the cabin that, in my opinion, that's happened this year. So I think people can catch fire, get excited, and want to.
I think
that improves the value of our property, all of our
property. Okay, quick straw poll. Just about whether to offer the discount, be in favor or not in favor of even offering. I think we know where you're at. Do you want to offer a discount or a reduction?
What is the money that we're raising for, but to continue increasing that cost.
Okay.
I'm against.
I don't think it's feasible to do a decrease.
Okay. You? I'm a Lone Ranger, and let John back me up.
On a decrease?
Yeah.
You know, we're not, our cabins are in pretty bad shape now, and we're not collecting enough money to keep them up. Is that correct?
Pretty much.
Well, then there's not much point in decreasing, I guess, that stage. But let me say this. I've been wanting to butt in here and say that if I got a royal reaming from a long time member out here, and he claimed that when he first bought out here, it was free, and then it comes to $50, $25 fee, and then it went up to $50, and then it went up to a play for pay, and he's telling me how much it cost him to come out here and what have you, and I said, well, you know. When I was out here, first come out here, I was allowed to have a couple of cows too. But you know, if everybody had them, this place wouldn't support it. And things change over the years because the cost goes up and things get older and need more repair. But he didn't want to hear that. He didn't want to hear that. And he told me, he said, "Well, you own a cabin out here. I don't feel that you have a right to vote on what I should have to pay." And I said, "What? I rent that cabin, 2 cabins every year for my family. I do have a right, but you're wrong on there. You're part of the owner." So, but anyway, if we're not pulling in enough money to pay for it, then there's no point in giving some away. And I don't see making somebody that never uses it pay more for it. So those of us who use it should have to pay. And so I guess I have to go against the decrease if we're not paying for it. But okay. if we're doing something wrong and not doing it right to repair it, then we need to get on that and not just pass on the cost just because we're not doing what we ought to do.
Well, I think we're on track more than we ever have been in the past with doing the right thing with the cabins, and Kathy's doing a fantastic job moving that forward. So I'm going to revise my suggestion that we come up with 2 proposals. One, maintain the status quo, and one that increases it enough to do a reasonable repair and upgrade on 1 cabin per year. Figure out what those two numbers are, divide them by the number of normal cabin days use that we have, and bring that back to the next. So send that in to us by email with your meeting minutes so that we can approve it and get an email sent out to the membership with those 2 options. Does that make sense?
All right.
I'm good.
Just, can you, something that says, with the big ones, like 1, 3, and garden cabins, like one night isn't okay. Like they need to stay 2 nights. So then the amount of linen and grass that goes into it and work, like it's too hard to turn off like once a day, you know what I mean? So so that's part of something I needed to ask you. I'm glad you brought that up. Because along with my proposal, I attached in there some adjustments to the rules and regulations that I proposed would help us clarify especially some of those things and really outlining how long our
they would be with the lane.
I have another question.
We don't minimum, period. I have places.
What about weekends? I mean, most people can only get away with
it. Doesn't matter. You're going to say Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night.
Why not?
Otherwise, then you have people trying to stack together, and these guys are running crazy to try to change the
limit. They only stay one day. They pay for the three, and then you don't book it.
Yeah, we're not saying they have to stay, but a minimum.
I do have one question.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, now if you're talking about just a flat fee, you know, for a cabin that has maybe it holds 9 people, but somebody comes in there and there's only 2 people. And they're going to pay the same amount as 9 people would. Is that the way I'm looking at it?
Yes, we're going to average it out, but they're going to pay whether you're at capacity in the cabin or whether you're half that, you pay the same fee. And it's not going to be a lot. I mean, I stay at a lot of different hotels from clients, and I pay $35 a night. That covers taking care of things and power and whatever, wherever I go. That's the minimum. And we're talking about $15 a night.
So wouldn't it be more feasible to take bigger cabins and charge a bigger fee?
Well, that's cheap.
Is that what we're doing?
We can do that.
Yeah, I think
that would be proposed. And that does make sense to help bring the other cabins down. However, there is something to be said for it being one fee, period. But I do think that the garden cabin is the biggest, and it does take most of the
time. I think we have to have 2 classes of cabins.
Yeah.
Small cabins and large cabins. And the thing for those 2.
I think that's only garden cabins.
I'm not finished with my question.
One has 2 water tiers and 3 does not.
Okay, now, suppose that these people, they can only stay 4 nights and they have for 7. Does that mean they got to pay for 7?
We're going to change the rules to 3 night minimum. Yep.
Okay. Because I don't know. I have a little bit of a heart. I understand a hotel is in it to make business, make money. We're not. And you're paying that fee, and we're not. I just have a problem if we have a couple out here that has no family. And they come out to use it, and they're going to have to pay the same amount of money as somebody that's going to have 7 or 9 people in there because the wear and tear isn't the same, or neither is the uses on the consumables.
John, let me suggest this. Once Mariah puts out her proposal, then that should be a comment that you have included just to try to make it fair, but the idea is not spending weeks trying to figure out how many people are in what cabin and how many exactly nights, the one night turnover. It's a simple
question. I understand that. Yeah, I understand that, but I had to throw that in. But go ahead and do what you got to do, and we can.
Yeah, I think we'll all have input and be able to add to that. So I don't. I think your comment is well taken. But let's have a proposal that we're actually working on. Then we can make changes and customize a little bit. Okay.
Very good.
Are we okay with that? I don't want to cut anybody off. Is there any comments from the membership out there as to what we're planning on doing or thinking about doing?
I'm a fairly new member in a couple of years. I think what would be nice would be if I was able to have a smaller cabin, be a lower, and the bigger cabin be
bigger. I think we'll hopefully you can do that as the 2 different classes in your proposal.
So we got 3 big cabins, so that's
going to be considered average. Okay, so we're ready to move on. Let's have Kathy talk to us. Well, John, do you have anything to talk to us about real quickly about public safety or caretakers? We've had their report, and we're going to discuss that a great deal executive session, but is there anything you want to talk about here in the meeting?
I'll do the mouth for it.
Might have lost him. Kathy, you want to talk a little bit?
Okay, as far as the updates on the cabins, we decided not to work on cabin 8 until probably this fall. There's no way we're going to get to it, and the shutdown on our activity is because of the roads. And also, we're short wood. As Duke's one that calculated, I gave him dimensions and stuff that he wasn't aware of some of the stuff that we're doing. So we're shy on some of our wood, and he's got some on order. And as soon as we get that, we'll wait for the trail and Rachel to be able to haul that. Right now, that trailer's stuck, and they can't even get it out. So as soon as we get that, so cabin 7 will not be available for rent in April when they open up. That we're just going to keep that one shut down until we can get it finished.
Okay.
And then we have had some things that I want to really push is, you know, these cabins are a liability. I'm sorry, but some of the stuff that we have found are really a liability. And so I'm really pushing to try to continue this. At least I was saying two per year. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. If we can get any more help from the board, that would be wonderful. Right now it's kind of hard to get out there, but I appreciate Phil and Rachel for their help. And we've had about 5 or 6 members that have come out and been very helpful. And then also on our fire protection, I got on and listened to with the BLM, it's the CWR, I don't know, Brent, you might want to help me out on this, CWRR, I think is what it is. Anyway, but it's they came in and they did a presentation for us last year. You guys remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they're really trying to push it. I'm not sure if this is something that we could do with 300 members. I really feel like we're going to have our tree limbs and brush cleaned a little bit, but they're talking about putting up 2 signs if we all commit to do that, pay $22 or $26 or something like that per owner, and then we would be put into this group. But I'm just not really sure if that's going to be feasible. I think that we need to work with members to take care of our lots. And I don't know if you guys have any input, help that we can do that. I know there's some people that we can't force people to, but it sure be nice to make sure that we're taken care of with the fire protection.
I think we need to encourage and educate members and then allow them to do whatever they're going to do.
Did we ever burn that flash?
No. What's your favorite rule, Earl?
Yeah, Brent about it. He said that it's much so on how to do it because they've got less truth. He said that you have to burn the flash at the beginning when there's a couple of feet of snow. That's where it pushes that child into this building. It would take off, but even if it is, we don't know what to do.
I wonder if you could recruit Winston Rose to get there, or if you could recruit King County.
That's what I brought up to come out, so that we could never do our narrative. That's what we're going to do. Have it come up.
And your comments, that really concerns me that the fire, the chimney was separated.
Yeah, it was separated. You've got the box that hooks up to the ceiling. The chimney was not even hooked.
I think the very top of your priority list on the cabins, upper cabins and lower cabins, is to have the chimneys all checked.
And that wouldn't take anything. I'd just screw it down and pull it down, and then we just screw it back together when we put the wood. But it was disconnected.
Haven't we had somebody do chimney sweeping?
Years ago. I mean, there's a
tool
in the
tool that
you have to do the pole and the big
thing
to get up
there. We didn't do any of that, but one of the suggestions I would say as far as the fire protection is that, you know, there's some people that won't go out there and do it, but, you know, I know during the summer, fall, you guys are real busy. If we can get, like, people to go and cut the dead stuff and use it for firewood or whatever we can to clean up some of the dead stuff around.
people's lot, common area, whatever.
Yeah, we just make a list and know where they are, and then we can post it. People can go get their firewood, including you guys.
Yeah.
After any dead, because they can cut it.
That's already there.
Back in the unit immediately. It's already aged.
Okay.
Somebody have dead trees on their lawn.
Maybe we can put with that email that you've got black email you've got going, that if there's people that have dead wood on their property, if they mind people coming and cutting up for firewood so we can clean up some of our lots.
We could tie a ribbon on any of the trees that they want taken out or whatever. And just put
now that
on.
We've got a true winter right now, we know what the firewood thing can be.
Whatever you can, right?
This year's pile is going to be substantially larger than last year's pile.
Yeah, it will be. So.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Did you have a question for me? I stepped out of the room for a minute.
No, I was just checking to see if you had anything on public safety or anything. We're trying to move along fairly quickly, but if you got something that you wanted to mention, now's a good time.
I do have some, and I'll try to make it quick. Last year when Dirk was still commissioner, I talked to him about the county coming out and do some maintenance on our roads out there, because we got a lot heavier use now with people coming out, and we're bearing all the cost. But not only that, we have limited what we can do because of the workload and because of the training that needs to do a road correctly. And he said, well, he would ask and see what could be done. Nothing has been done. I don't know what we can do about it, but we keep getting a lot of things that come up with the roads. But not only that, during deer seasons, as some of you are aware, that we had some people that I went back there and put one of my big chains, which I paid $100 for, and a big lock on the gate to lock it for that 2 weeks, and somebody just simply got their gun and shot it and stole the chain and blew the lock off the heck with it. There's two shots. I heard it was almost 9 in the evening when it went on. I figured that was opening day, and we had a poacher at night. And anyway, I didn't go down there and confront anybody, because I didn't want to go down there alone with somebody that has guns. And I went down the next day, and here we have that. And we did call the sheriff, and they come out and set up a camera. And whoever did it ended up pulling up a sign saying that this was a private property, but they had public could use it and what have you. And they threw that across the gate as basically telling me we have a right to come through here. But he didn't read the one where we said we would, the part of it that said it would be closed during 2 weeks of mule deer season. But we have things like this that happen. This is the first time I've had something like that to happen. But we got all this other things that go on out there, and people speeding and what have you. I don't know. Maybe Barry, you know. What can we do about the county and their responsibility in some of this? At least help us, you know, with that.
I suggested earlier in the meeting that Phil and Rachel contact them and continue to bug them on getting more help on the roads, and I think that's what we need to do is be persistent, calling them a couple times a week. Well, obviously, you can't do much until it dries out a little bit, but in the spring, we need to get on that. So we'll keep working on it.
Are we obligated to have that day open during? Are we
Hi.
Are we a hindrance or a nuisance?
us and other people by locking it on the
road? We have a locked
We need to keep it a private road
for so many days a year anyway, so we just coordinate that with the deer.
How many birds are going to do that?
Seems like just some people have cows and horses and already had one killed.
You did?
I think it was hit. And I reported it by a backhoe that was coming down the road on the horse was staggering around with a guy that came behind the backhoe. They were hauling the backhoe out up that old canyon. And they were on his buffer. He pulled over and they went through. And when he came around, there was a horse that was bleeding in the head and staggering around and died.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I think it's a good time to limit where we're going to have the most access, but it could cause problems with those developed points.
Well, let's discuss it. I think the deer season is still a good time to close that gate.
It frustrates a lot of people, and so we get our gates damaged all the time. We're always just
a good time to close.
I've had some discussions.
There's only 200, so you're allowed to hunt up there. So, go ahead, John. Sorry.
Yeah, but I've had some discussions with some of these people, and they're complaining about us closing the gate. And I said, well, you know, I gave him some reasons why. And I said, here, it's deer season right now, and here comes a guy right now, and he's going to go on this private road here, and he's just going to see us here, and he's going to drive right on past that sign there that says that it's a private road, and he's just going to go on. I said, you watch him. I guarantee you he'll do that. And he did exactly as I said he would do. I said, see, people just don't care. They come up here and they ignore that. And I said, you're bellyaching to me about this. I said, you know, there's only about 6% of this property up here that's privately owned. That makes 94% of it is a huntable area. Why do you need ours? Why do you want to trespass on ours? And when we have people to do damage, kill animals, and just shoot around, and they have no idea what we got up here, where the houses are, or where even our cattle and livestock are. They just want to come in and shoot. I said, why do they want to do that? Because we've got a nice road here, and there's some deer on it. And because the road hunters are not hunters, they're road hunters. And I don't consider a road hunter a real hunter. But I said, that's why. Okay, but that's a stinking attitude, you know. And I say we keep them out. But when they go and shooting up things, you know, and shooting up and stealing property, it just kind of saps my hide.
I think we need to focus on that because I think we're going to have more and more problems with people going through that legally can go through. So I think we need to look at that.
Yeah.
And besides that, we were out there in November and we're doing some work at the gravel pit, and a couple guys came through sitting in the truck with rifles, looking for elk. So they're asking my wife and I, have you seen any elk around here? And we're like, well, no. And then they just dropped Larry Clarkson's name. Well, we have Larry Clarkson's permission to hunt here on the ranch.
Okay, Larry.
we don't know whether that's accurate, not accurate, whether they just happen to know names and can drop names and nobody's the wiser.
Well, let me tell you a rule of thumb on that. If they said Larry Clarkson gave them permission, then they're lying to you. Unless they come and talk to the board about it, because we talk about who's hunting or who's not allowed to go hunting and numbers that have asked for trespass permits. So if they say, I got permission from so-and-so, you can bank on that not being true.
They should have something with them, something in writing from me or whoever has given them permission, and then also Phil, Rachel, the on-site manager should know if I've given them permission, the board or Phil and Rachel know who's coming through and when they're coming through. But it is convenient to just drop a name and say, oh, well,
Well, yeah, well, because we're nobody, so we don't know who do we tell, who do we report it to? Do we report it to somebody so we, you know, they can go confront them? Do we even confront them because they got rifles?
Yeah, no. we shouldn't be confronting people, but it would be good just to say, hey, that's great. Do you mind if I get your name? But
right.
If we keep track of a name and a vehicle.
Larry, I had that scenario last year. A guy come through, and I stopped him and asked him about it. And he said, well, I said, do you have permission? He said, yes. And I said, from who? Because I don't have a list here. And he says, Larry Clarkson. And I said, okay. If it's Larry Clarkson, fine, I'm going to check it out. So I got on the radio and I called Larry, and Larry confirmed it. And he was very nice about it. He was very, very nice. He was a hunting guide. But he was very nice. So I did check him out because I made a call.
Appreciate it. All right. Let's see. Phil, do you have anything on water to add?
No, although I have advanced on it. I think in the minutes of the last meeting, Vance, I asked you and you were going to help me a little bit with the design of the water disbursement pickup station at the headquarters. And because it's coming up in April or May, we're
going to
have that done.
Right, and I sent the guidelines, the water hauling guidelines, to several people, but I will send them again.
You sent? I got a copy. I thought you were copied on that email.
I don't remember, but okay. So we got guidelines.
The guidelines, I believe, they include how you have to build.
Yeah, there's an actual couple of drawings.
Vance, if you wouldn't mind, send those again to Phil. That would be great, and you can copy me again on it.
No problem at all.
I got it, but it was a long time ago.
Okay.
Because I have people lined up, give them
what exactly. Yeah, that plan will give you the specifications as to what has to be included, and then they can go from there. All
right.
Anything else? For you? Okay. All right. Larry, anything on equipment, operations, and wildlife?
Really nothing right now on wildlife other than what's already been said and to know going forward in the future. Anybody that's going to be hunting on the ranch will have written permission, and usually, especially with turkeys, usually Mariah is about to. So they pay her the fee. The mule deer paying, or they may be allowed to hunt because of our ownership, the Landowners Association. The equipment operation, one thing I make a comment there that I think Phil and Rachel have done a great job jumping into a mess. Some of the pieces of equipment that they're running, especially Rachel on the grader, to try to jump in and just figure that out. She's been kind of a big trooper, I think, for even tackling that. Some of those pieces of equipment, nobody has even attempted. And a grader especially, you can sit in a class, you can go to college, you can listen to instructions, but until you get in the machine and start running it, it doesn't make any sense what somebody tells you to do. Joe will say the same thing about welding. He can tell you all day how to weld, but until you start burning some rod, it's all words. Until you do it and do it wrong a whole bunch and start learning how to do it right. So just the fact that they've been running the equipment, they know a whole lot more now than they did before. And I think even going out the one day and watching me do what I did, then she's like, oh, wow, that makes sense now. And so that's my little bit, I guess, pat on the back. He's being willing to jump in and try, where in the past some people have not even attempted or
Or they're like, oh yeah, I know. And I'm like, well, I don't think you know.
That's a great analogy. You don't want to set me.
You've been educated. One comment I did want to caution you on, because I know you watch me. It's a little dangerous to articulate that machine when you're turning like I was doing. I mean, I went up Lee Bella's driveway and turned around on his driveway. Which you can do if you know what you're doing, but if you don't know what you're doing, it's easy to run the blade right through your rear tires.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've watched that.
So,
in fact, when I drive with it, I don't pull it all the way back like that. I drive with it more kind of out a little bit. But, yeah, I did watch your wheels, you know, everything you were doing, so.
That was after I did that, I thought, man, I better tell her not to.
No, I don't drive with my weight back like that. And it also drops on its own, like when I'm just driving down the road.
Yeah, and it just heads down?
Yeah, so I just, yeah. I'm not afraid like that, yeah. So.
Cool. All right, anything else other than Joe or do you or anything to add? Okay, Brad.
Agriculture, bring up that thing I talked about. He wants me to bring up the erosion problem, and we've mentioned the erosion problem multiple times for 3 years, and I've asked every professional range management guy that came out to the ranch to look at our problem. And to give us ideas, and behind the ranch houses, especially that's the closest that we have. I've invited people to walk out there, but if you have it one day, you ought to just walk out and see what I'm talking about. But all that water, when it floods, it pours right out of the ranch, and that ravine is working its way back up around the ranch house, and we need to do something to. And as I've watched the floods and the waterfalls, and it's natural, what happens is once it gets so deep, that water's heaviness falls off of there, creates a backwash, undercuts the wall, and then the wall crumbles into it and washes down, and then it does it again and again and again. It just keeps creeping up. And so I think what we're going to need to do is take down some fences and push in ground into that, and then some rocks that we can get out of the pit. We come down and we establish a gradual. The water's going to come down. We're not going to be able to stop it, but if we slow it down and bring it from point A to point B, we'll quit eating up underneath our floor.
We can make a catch basin right there.
Yes, they've had the catch station.
Flood irrigation pastures and see their goats all year.
The whole dike right there behind the house is meant to divert and to catch the water that comes down. And we're not going to be able to catch. But you are correct. If we put catchments along the way and slow the water down along the way, and so it's not all coming, you know, have to fill up here before it gets to here,
yeah.
And slows the amount of water that comes. It's the sheer volume of the water that we have out there, and it's the nature of the beast of the country that we live in.
If you look on, well, taking up that map, on the aerial photos, if you look, the well field has probably between 9 and 11 or 12 cross diversions.
Yeah.
Some of them run the water east, and some of them run the water west, and so it's accumulating water and stalling it and spreading it out, and it's absorbed by the ground, it's evaporated, so we don't get all 100% of it right there to go off the cliff. We're still going to get a small percent down there, but if we can retain it, slow it down, dissipate it, store a little here, store a little there, and pick a spot, maybe one or two other places upstream to get it off, if we've got a point that we can divert it off and buy it some time, we can let it erode that point for a year or two or three.
And change it.
And then change it.
Across from down in to the south and then up the triangle over there, that needs to be, we spent hundreds of dollars on that, fixing that road where that water comes off of the other, the same problem.
Opposite, on the far side or going
far
further?
Far side where it comes back up. Needs to have a little bit of attention done, and maybe you up and maybe look at that for us and redivert some of that or fix that water. And then Roland Dean has a jammer diking machine, and what that does is you run it over big flat surfaces like out in the well field or over in that other thing, and it creates little pockets all the way through it. The water catches in the pockets and holds in a lot of water stuff right in, which is where there's a lot of water.
Yeah.
And they did that for agriculture purposes. Now, I'd like to experiment with that, try that for this year. I think we can start. It's kind of scary how deep that is, so I'm nervous about you pulling in there with the...
Well, I'm not going to pull it. There's already got way
back over whatever, trying knocking that down.
It's probably a building up there.
They have a little bit more experience to come and to create.
It can be not only dangerous for equipment, but just kids. If somebody's standing in the garden cabin and kids are exploring along there, they love to go along the cliff and in little water pocket caves. And
you could stand right there and look at a crack that's 10 feet from that thing, walking along there, and you can look down there where a huge part of that has fallen in, and now it's filled up into an actual lake to go over that thermal.
So if you have to move on, consider, could you please look at that and with what we talked about? But I think that we should stop chasing in, get a little bit of fishing rocks in there. Gradual. Move the water from this point to this point. A lot more space. And that would actually come down in a very sharp state before locks.
Some of the stuff that we have in the burn, the slash pile, you know, is good. Right, this stuff, a bunch of cedar trees and limbs, and then rocks.
If you don't want to walk down there, if you're driving to the ranch, just before you get to where our pond is, right by the view pond in the ranch area, just before you get that pond, you can see what's happened. If you just kind of look off to the right, you'll see what exactly is happening back over behind the ranch house, right there on the road. We have another one out there that's coming towards the road that eventually will get to the road, and we'll have another one like that, and similar.
I should have sold the ranch like the AK.
Is it still up there?
No, I sold it.
Oh, you're still in a museum in this field.
We're still moving forward, have more contact with Interra, but they sold it. I think because of the government shutdown or something, I don't know, they've moved their deadlines back, so they're still trying to decide whether or not to get funded or not. So as far as that goes, hopeful for that. I'd like to see, we have chemical that we need to try to kill some of this invasive weed, and we have to have a license. I need a license number.
So we're working on the license. I'm on like chapter 3, and she's struggling through chapter 4. It's not as easy as just guy unless it.
I propose you go take the book and go take the book. You do, and then go work in work. That's what we're doing. Let's take the shot. I need a license number to put down on the paperwork. That's him. Okay, finished. I'm also over social media. And there's three Facebook accounts. One of them is primarily the real estate type of thing, and I don't even know for sure. I imagine it's sales, but I don't even know that for sure. The other two, we have one official site and we have one non-official site. Paul Brayton is the executor of the other Facebook account, and it's pretty much, I don't think the last posting on that was 2011 or something like that. Anyway, long story short, we now have, I think we should keep our official site that we have that anyone can go to, any person, public person can go to, but we have now developed a closed private group that you have to be, you request to be in and enter your granted membership in. Every single member has a right to be in that group, and then that's the place where you can post your picture. We can disseminate information like that. You can just take a screenshot of one of the documents that we have here, and you can post it on there. We can also control the people because we need people on the site. So disrespect is a whole different thing that we have. So we want to keep it appropriate and have it available for us to go to. And so I would like, if we could, to invite when we get that flyer next. Members know they can go on Facebook if you use Facebook. And join this group, and so it is called Dairy Springs Ranch Members Only.
Half the amount to
do the 30 or however many you want to start with, what you want to do. So they asked me to present it to you, and if the branch is willing to do that, you also have to decide on your own what kind of price you're wanting to charge for the shirt. Okay? But, anyway, this is the gray, this is the blue. Kind of pass it around and give it a feel. They're nice. They wick pretty good in the summertime, so it's not maybe real hot. So, if you want specific numbers of sizes, colors, I know that
they're that's what we're delivering for people, so I know that people are wanting something different. So, I think it's a great idea.
I would probably order 50.
That was my thought. In a variety of sizes. And after, let's say,
with a lot more medium and larges and extra larges than anything else.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if that they'll have to get that from a different manufacturer, but I agree we need to look at getting Como shirts.
And have that as an option.
Yep.
Well, that can be, let's see how this goes. Yep. And then I can ask them if they can find a vendor that you could actually get something with a collar and see what kind of price it would be.
Yeah.
But that may come to
price.
Extra large.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we can go forward with that, if I can get the
tackle on that.
Next
meeting. Do we want to have a meeting in April, or can we wait until May, recognizing that we'll have meetings beginning of the second Saturday in May, and you're going to have 2 weeks before open season being Memorial Day?
That will be at the ranch.
Will the
May one be at the ranch?
May one could be at the ranch. April, and I'm not sure about
April. April,
I think.
No.
You're saying not have an April meeting.
I'm talking about yes, whether we have one or not.
Right. So I'm saying, will the May meeting be at the ranch? That's all.
I think we have plenty to discuss.
Growth permitting, yeah.
I hope they're better by May.
I think we have plenty of stuff to discuss, including the end of the paper play or some of those things that I'd probably like to have a meeting in April,
April.
Yeah, I'm trying the first one. Okay, so second Saturday in April, what day does that fall on? 13th, does that work for everybody? When's Easter? I don't know.
Next weekend, the 21st.
Okay.
So it's the weekend before Easter.
Any objections to the 13th of April is our next meeting here at my office?
10 or 11.
It's not been a problem at all in the past. It's helpful to me to not have to travel somewhere, but if you want to chip in, I'm more than happy to arrange it and have some food here of whatever kind and just let you know what it was when you divided up or anything.
You don't
get That's up to you as it travels, Joe. Does 11 work better for you? 11 or 10 o'clock. Yeah, that's better. Phil, you prefer 11?
Yeah, I get something done.
Okay, 11 o'clock on Saturday the 13th.
here at my office. And with that, then let's adjourn this meeting and quickly meet for our executive session and excuse everybody.